Welcome to the Avengers Podcast, where we assemble weekly to binge the MCU and all things nerd, old and new. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Avengers Podcast. That is one word, ladies and gentlemen, A-B-I-N-G-E-R-S Podcast. Give us a like, a comment, and let us know what you think of the show. You can also find us wherever podcasts are available and at AvengersPodcast.com, where you can find out a little bit more about us, where we have our merch, where you can find stickers, mugs, t-shirts, hats, hoodies, all that and more. Check it out and show your Avengers fandom today. If you'd like to support the show, you can find us on Patreon at patreon.com/Avengers Podcast. We have exclusive content only available on our Patreon. We have $1, $3, $5, and $10 tiers available. Check it out today for shoutouts, access to our Discord, watch parties, and exclusive episodes not found anywhere else at patreon.com/Avengers Podcast. But I'm just one of your hosts, Brandon. I can't do it alone. Clinton, how are you doing, sir? Oh, God, I had you muted. That was so awkward. How are you doing?
Oh, wow.
I'm sorry.
I'm feeling thunderstruck.
Oh, okay, thunderstruck. All right.
I had more enthusiasm the first time.
Oh, I apologize. Emmy, how are you?
I'm feeling electrified.
Electrified, thunderstruck. Guys, it is here. Thor, Love, and Thunder. By the way, if you have not seen Thor, Love, and Thunder, do not listen any further. This is a full spoiler. We're not going to do a little non-spoiler review and then the spoiler review. We take off our clothes and get straight to business. And we just get right at it. Okay, so guys, we're getting at it. Do not listen any further. This is your warning. Do not go back. Watch Thor, Love, and Thunder. And when you have, come in and take a look at what we got. We got a great review ready for you. That's the weirdest way I could have said it, I think.
Doing great, buddy.
Am I? Because I feel like I'm floundering. Like, I really am. So anyway, guys, Thor, Love, and Thunder. I'm going to start. Well, actually, I think we have a new patron. Oh, actually, we have two new patrons this week. We've got Jeremy Brown and Linda G. Thank you so much for joining our Patreon. You guys are awesome.
Thank you. Linda, are you related to Kenny?
I see what you did there. I see what you did there. That's wonderful. Jeremy Brown, are you
related to Cleveland?
Are you related to James? Oh my god.
All right. So, well, we got a chuckle out of the Malone one last week, so you know what?
You know, that dead horse.
Can y'all see me?
Yes, we can see you. You look like you're in a recording studio about to drop a good Linkin Park cover.
Drop a beat.
I've been known.
Linda, Jeremy, thank you so much for joining our
thank
Patreon.
You yes,
greatly appreciate
all jokes
it.
Aside,
appreciate yeah. it.
We appreciate you. So Thor, Love, and Thunder, we're gonna just get right down to business, guys. I know, and so I want to jump into someone I know's opinion. Clinton, kind of unfortunately, we were gaming the other night and he just let it fly. I think you had a few margaritas at that point.
Was that Mexican night?
That was Mexican night. You were flying off about what you thought, and I didn't say a word. So, Clinton, what did you think of Thor?
Love, you're going to start with me.
Oh, I'm starting with you, sir. Because I know. I'm saving.
I did not like this movie.
Oh, wow. What did you not like about it?
A lot.
Mm-hmm.
It stings a little bit because I went into this movie like super excited because Ragnarok's up there for me and I love that movie, but this felt like a spoof movie to me. It felt like they've undid everything Thor's arc's been. It felt like they had to force comedy all the way through it. It felt disjointed. It was like we had serious tone and then went straight into comedy, but they didn't let the serious kind of sit for a little bit, like to feel it. It wasn't impactful. The fucking goats.
I thought
they got on my nerves.
When you were like, it's the goat boat, and they're like,
which would have been fine if they'd done it like once or twice. The whole movie we had to get that. Like, it was just so annoying to me. There was some cringe moments. I don't know. Visually, this movie was great. Gore stood out. I wish we had more of him. I loved him in his scenes he was in. Like, he stole the scene every time he was in it, in my opinion. I hate that they, in my opinion, don't come for me, they really undid everything Thor's arc was like, they've made him kind of a dum-dum in this. Like, and he was kind of naive from the beginning of his, like when he was joining the Avengers and stuff back in the day. Like, he's from Asgard and he didn't get, you know, remember how he was. He was like, I know, and then stuff. And so they kind of built him to like have this arc of like gaining more knowledge and being aware of like he just like was the beginning of the movie with when he's with the Guardians and he just destroys that sacred temple for like, he has no regard about anybody, but like, it felt like he was just having fun and being a doofus and the whole play into the hammer and with Mjolnir and Stormbreaker would have been funny, but they just kept doing it. It just felt like they didn't know where to end jokes in this movie. And I've got a hot take, and I want y'all to come for me on this one. Okay. This will be this final thing I say on my overarching thing. Eternals was way better than Thor Love and Thunder.
All right. Well, Emmy, I'm going to save you for last because I know my opinion. I want to be surprised for last. I don't know which side you're going to be on, so I'm going to pose two different sides, obviously. I really enjoyed this movie. I really did. I thought it was hilarious, and I did think right away, I was like, this is going to be a very divisive movie because if you're here for the fun, just campy, doesn't take itself too seriously, which can be annoying. I get that. You're not going to have too much fun here. I mean, and yes, there's even times where I did think, ooh, okay, is the humor really what we need right now? But usually it would make me laugh. And so I quickly just forget it. Everything worked for me. And I'm not meaning that in a, I don't know. I just genuinely, I loved the whole overarching story of Thor. Obviously, he starts out the movie seeking peace. He doesn't want to fight. He's kind of taken on a new leaf. He's basically like, okay, everything I've been about, I need to be different. I want to live for something else now, not just war. But yet it continues to be called back into war. And it just almost feels like, you know what? After everything that's happened, I just kind of want to do me for a while. And I think he was trying to while bigger events were at play. I also absolutely love Gore the God Butcher. I love the arc at the end where Thor is with all these children and he is showing that he is willing to put them above himself. And Gore saw that and, you know, recognized you're worthy of my love, my daughter, and he chose love. And I thought that was such a beautiful parallel. It was really, really emotional for me just seeing that where, you know, through Thor, that was the god Gore wanted all along. And he never got out of his own. And that's a beautiful, from the very beginning to the very end, holy shit. So yeah, it hit. I get chills even talking about it. Yes, there are times where they're hitting the humor button. I get it. And they're hitting it too hard. And sometimes it's a little jarring. I get that. But overall, it's easy for me to look past some of those because of the message it sent to me. For me. And so I really, really enjoyed this movie. Yeah, not perfect. I'm not pretending it's perfect. No, it's not Ragnarok. Far from it. But I really had a good time. I had a good time watching this movie. I saw it twice. I got emotional the second time watching it. I thought it was really, really good. So, yeah. So Clinton has given me dirty looks the whole time. And
I'm not giving you dirty looks.
Oh, you
looks.
Are. There's dirty looks.
You're not looking at you. I'm just, this is me expressioning out loud.
Oh, okay. Well,
with my thoughts. I'm not aiming at you. Uh-huh. I just am. I'm so far on the other end.
Oh yeah. I think we are
from your,
I know. Yeah. So that's why I saved Emmy for last. Cause I really knew we were going to be on complete polar opposite ends of this movie. So Emmy, what did you think of Thor Love and Thunder?
All right. So I think, Brandon, that you thought it was going to be a spectrum from you to Clinton, right? It's actually a spectrum from me to Clinton, and you're in the middle.
Oh, okay.
I absolutely fucking loved this movie.
Holy
I think it's a lot
shit.
Closer to Ragnarok than you're giving it credit for.
Oh, wow.
I got to see this with Clinton. And I was But I have not cried that hard since Tony died in a movie. I was bawling at the end. And at one point, I noticed that Clinton looked over at me. And I noticed that and just went, gave like a little... I couldn't control it. There were times that I like got up on the edge of my seat and was like, whoa, what was that?
Yeah.
It was, I laughed out loud multiple times. I know people have had issues with it. I've read some of the issues with it and I still absolutely love it. And let me tell you something, those fucking goats got me every single time. Laugh out loud every single time.
When they hit the planet, the thud was really funny to me too. Like in the scream from the outer space. Oh, it was, yeah, that made me laugh.
I watched it again yesterday and I'm on vacation. So I'm sorry. I am in a house with my family and we're a bunch of yahoos. And so if you hear stuff, I know that my sound quality is not perfect, but just wanted to put that caveat out there. But so because we're on vacation, I went and saw it in Savannah and they have thunderstorms every afternoon. So yesterday afternoon, whenever I went and saw it, it was storming. And had I not already seen it, I would have been like, oh, was that Thor's thunder or was that outside thunder? But I was like, it was like I was watching the God of Thunder while the God of Thunder was outside putting on a show. And it was cool. And he's also putting on a show right now while I'm recording. So,
yeah. Wow. It was neat. I am shocked. Sorry. Shows me for thinking. Like, you know, I know, Clinton, you're not alone. I know there's a listener. We're going to get to his thoughts. And he's not a big fan of this movie either, from what I've gathered. So
I'm willing to fight every single point that you bring that this is not good, because it was exactly what I wanted. I absolutely loved it.
The only thing, and my wife, she also made the point about Thor being the god Gore always wanted. It gave me chills when she said that. I thought that was beautiful. And so that's a credit to Renee. Also, she made a point where, for nitpicking purposes, there's a lot of weird continuity things that are like, just like weird, stupid little things though. Like when Jane is in bed where she's like about to die from, like after she's used Mjolnir for a little bit and this very big emotional impactful moment between Thor and Jane, and like her hair changes often. She's in different parts of the bed. She's up and down and up and down. And it's like, there's no like scene, like this is one scene, but she's like up and down the whole time and her hair's changing. And it's like, you could tell there was reshoots essentially. It does take you a little out of it. I wish there was just, for continuity's sake, like, can we just not refilm the whole scene? Why did we have to just, it's very clunky there. And when it's supposed to be a real impactful moment. So I did feel that there when she brought that up.
I feel like, so the biggest overarching complaint for me, and I would have enjoyed this movie more if they could have made it longer, or if they would have set in tones longer, because I feel like it was jarring, the tonal shifts in this movie. It didn't blend well. We would have some serious moments and then it's like real short, and then it goes to like, oh no, got to throw in a joke again. Mm-hmm. I understand the listeners now when they get tired of our dick jokes, because we have to do it every 2 minutes. This is what this movie felt like for me. I just felt like the comedy was forced. Like, it felt to me like it was like, oh, they loved Ragnarok, and the comedy and like the new version of Thor, we're really going to hammer it in this time. Pun intended.
Yeah,
like, it was just so much. And I'm usually here for humor. It just felt like it was... And it's a fun, I get it. If I'm watching it just as a movie that ain't connected and as like not thinking of anything else, it's a fun ride and have a good time. I get that. But there was a lot of things that felt, I wanted to breathe with it for a minute. Like the whole thing with Jane with her cancer, I felt like it was very limited showing that. And it was more about just jumping back into, they want to see Mighty Thor, so we're going to give them Mighty Thor. But like, I feel like her story could have been really impactful, but I wanted to sit with that longer.
I thought it was impactful for me, because I cried so hard that it was short. Almost like
I didn't have enough time, because I've not seen Jane in a while, and like I wasn't invested in her with Dark World, and maybe that's part of that for me. Like I haven't seen her in so long, and like, I don't know. Does that make sense? Like, I haven't seen her in so long, and then I wasn't really invested to begin with because of the way that they did their story in the Dark World. So I really wanted them to redeem her a little bit. And
I thought they did.
I didn't, because I feel like we didn't get enough. It was just her as Mighty Thor mostly.
Yeah.
That story is a heavy one. Like, it's a pretty deep story in the comics, and it felt like it was just like, we're going to flash to her in the bed. And
anyway. Okay, before we get too far into it, we usually do Rotten Tomatoes, IMDb, Google users.
Oh, yeah.
Working title.
All right.
So, do you guys want to guess? I feel like, for the most part,
I looked up the score for Rotten Tomatoes. That's it.
Okay.
So, when I looked at it, I know what that was, so I'm not going to guess. I just wanted to see if I was alone in my feelings.
I'm going to... It's funny because my wife gave me a score of, I think, 7.75 out of 10, and I gave it an 8 out of 10. So I'm going to say 77.
67 from critics. Wow. And the audiences gave it an 81%.
Close to audience then. But wow, I'm surprised it's that low for critics. That's kind of shocking to me, honestly.
IMDb gave it a 7.0, and 82% of Google users liked this movie. The working title for it was The Big Salad, and I think I know why.
Like The Big Lebowski and like what? I don't know.
Well, yeah, but he had to go on a diet.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was.
Yeah. Okay,
gotcha. That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you're not alone, Clinton. I mean, and I do think this movie is very polarizing, you know, and like, because I remember checking out Discord and checking out Twitter after I watched it. I felt comfortable, you know, just being on social media and our Discord, and it was even posting our little, I always sometimes give our Discord a little preview of our post for later on. I posted all our graphic where you're Mighty Thor and me and Clinton's Thor and I'm an ugly Korg in the background, and like someone said, better CG than the movie or better graphics than the movie. I can't remember. Better effects. I think that's what it was. I think it was Patrick that said that. And I was like, what the
VFX, hell? I think. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, what the hell? Jeez. I mean, it was like I mean, people are coming at this one. I mean, it is.
Well, I thought visually this movie was,
I thought it was beautiful. Wonderful.
I loved it mm-hmm. visually.
Same,
yeah.
Same.
And I think the armor Thor has in this movie is my favorite he's ever worn.
The gold
and the blue.
Together. He looks phenomenal. Mighty Thor looks amazing. Valkyrie looks amazing. Thor looks amazing. Everyone is on point with their call. I mean, I absolutely loved it. And honestly, Clinton, you know, I know we were talking about it. You know, I want to go back to that, the Mighty Thor. I will say I was kind of wrestling with, I wish we had more time with Jane Foster or Fonda, whoever we're talking about.
Jodie Foster.
Jodie Foster as well. I wish we had more time with her. I wish this story would have played out through probably two movies, really, mm-hmm. truthfully. But I won't lie, it was still very impactful to me. I wanted more, but I was perfectly fine because it still made me emotional. It was still really, really, I don't know, just like when, just little touches like, you know, you better come back to me, and then the hammer calling for her, and then she ends up, you know what, fuck you, I'm gonna be Mighty Thor, and I'm here. And, you know, because we always see, I think the common thing we usually see is the damsel's in distress, and the mm-hmm. man sacrifices himself. I really loved how it flipped us on its head. Yeah, where she comes in as Mighty Thor at the very end there, and I hate to go here, but it was just immediately like...
I like that opposite.
Yeah, and like... He's the one holding her, and she gave her life, her last moments for him and his future. And it was just, oh, I get chills talking about it. I don't see that in movies much. Usually it's like, Thor, you were amazing. Thank you so much for giving me a second chance. No, it was Mighty Thor, and it was wonderful. And it worked for me because I don't see that in cinema often where right before the blade comes in, boom, here it is. And it's Jane's last stand. And I really, really love that because it was, I'm going to live my life the way I need to in my last moments and fight for the people and the thing I care about. Because she even said, I care about the last mission. I care about getting those kids. And I care about Thor. It was just cool. I really, really, I loved it. I really, really did.
I hope that you guys, my mic is picking up the fact that Thor is pissed off about the fact that you guys are talking about him.
Yeah, it's a little bit. When you talk, you can hear a little rumble in the back.
Yeah. But I liked and didn't like And I don't mean didn't like, but like with that last battle, whenever Mighty Thor shows up, I was like, fucking hell yes. Like, this is awesome. But then I also started to tear up because I knew what it meant for her.
Yeah.
Like, it was like,
and Thor knew it too, because Thor looked at her that way. It was,
and said like,
no, Jane, no. Yeah. Yeah. And, but she, I'm not doing this for you. You know, like, you know, I, and I'm with you too. It was, I loved it.
I think they did a great job at redeeming their relationship, because that was a complaint we had back in the day. It's just their relationship didn't feel authentic and genuine. Yeah. And I feel like they really fixed that in this movie.
I 100% agree.
This and felt that real. Might be why I'm a little bit of a critic on more of her. I wanted more of her. I wanted more of her actual story, her life since that and everything, instead of it just being talked about. But I do like that they did their relationship and their chemistry in a good way this time. It felt good and authentic and fun and
equally
balanced. That's something we did. Do what?
Equally balanced.
Yeah, it felt balanced versus the old Thor. Since, and I think that's part of my biggest complaint with her is I need. It's like, oh, we need to throw her in here to get Mighty Thor in here, and they tried to connect it as much as they could, but I wanted more of Jane Foster's story. You know what I mean? If that would have been a show or.
But you kind of got it. Like, you got the mention in Age of Ultron. And honestly, Natalie Portman didn't want to be part of the MCU after how they did her in Thor the Dark World. Like, she wasn't.
Well, I'm not talking about her as a person in her life. I'm talking about her story as a character in this. I just wasn't as invested, I guess, because of that.
But you did get her story, because it's like.
It was told to me.
No, they showed it. They showed their relationship and how it progressed and how she started to get more and more work opportunities. They showed her lab, how much it's grown since it was in the back of a van. And then it showed her, she has a book out, The Foster Theory. And it shows that. Like, it shows a lot, I feel like. And if you can't fill in the blanks, like, I, you know, can't help you, bro.
We're gonna fight about it. I was trying to be civil. Yeah. Okay.
Nope. Okay. We're gonna fight.
Gloves are off. Gloves are off.
Oh snap! I'm the middle man. This is crazy. I didn't expect it. All right. I'm so glad I did the graphic the way I did. This is even better. So honestly, I really did. I love even. I know it's kind of quick storytelling and maybe even lazy to some people. I don't know. I didn't take it this way. I'm trying to see the other side while I talk. But I love Korg's quick flashback of the Jane and Thor relationship, getting you up to speed, actually properly showing you the breakup and how it happened. And like the fucking rollerblades with Mjolnir was fucking hysterical. I absolutely loved it. And I loved the real side of their relationship too. And even Thor, the God of Thunder, fights over cleaning plates. Like, there's two plates. Like, it was really, really fun too. So I love how they quickly got casual viewers back up to speed with Jane Fonda. And I thought that was really wonderful.
Jane Fonda.
Yeah. Or Jodie Foster. Sorry. But like, I really think that they did a really good job. See, I like it. It worked for me. But like, I really.
How many more of those do you have in there?
Oh, I stole the two from the movie. I don't have any.
Yeah, I know.
Sorry, guys. But I really did. I thought how they quickly got people up to speed who may have just seen Ragnarok and like, oh, this is awesome. I really enjoyed it. And so.
Quickly got people up to speed. That's the different. That's where I shift with it though.
Yeah.
Well, you should have been up to speed. We don't need that. We like get people up to speed. Who
have you never bitched about a character in a movie because you felt like it was rushed and you're not invested in the character because they just threw them at you? Ever?
Did y'all hear that, Beaver?
Answer the question, Emmy.
Man, he started the fight and now he threw a haymaker just then.
Have I ever been mad at a movie because I wasn't invested? Listen, okay, this is the fourth Thor movie, okay?
Yes, and the third Jane movie.
So at this point, you should be invested because you watched the other two that had Jane in them.
No, we're not just going by Thor movies. How many movies has Thor been in since his solo movies? We've had nonchalant mentions of Jane here and there. Oh, no, I think it was just was it Infinity War or Endgame where he was like, we broke up.
Mm-hmm. It was Ragnarok.
And I didn't.
No, it was actually Age of Ultron. It was a mutual dumping.
Age of Ultron, he was like, she's up for a Nobel Prize.
Oh, that's true. Oh, where did he break up? Oh, it had to be Ragnarok.
He does say it. I thought it was Infinity War Endgame.
Ooh, gosh, I know people are probably yelling at their speakers right
now. It's Ragnarok, and then you see her in Endgame when they go after the Reality Stone.
It was a mutual dumping.
Yeah, that's but funny. That was just old footage. I don't know. And I wanted...
But I would agree with Amy here, and I know, Clint, I'm so sorry you're going to be outnumbered, but I really
don't care.
But I do think this is the third Jane. It's the third Jane movie. I know you're saying there's 10 Thor appearances. I get that, but Jane's no slouch either. She's had three movies with her in it. Now, don't get me wrong. Yes, I wanted to see more Mighty Thor. That's what I wanted to see more of. I wanted to see more of the Mighty Thor story play out.
And they did that.
Yeah, but I can see that point a little bit, but like more Jane. I mean, I think at this point, especially if you watch that first Thor movie, which I feel like they did a lot better, Dark World, but they came back with a really good tie and a bow around
it. But Tom, you say she's been in three movies, but it's also been how many years? Like there's just this huge gap of time. And I wanted to see.
She's in this movie. It was enough to go back to the casual viewer can see
what
she's
been
up to.
And I get that. And that's okay.
MCUs are,
it's just, like, it's just my opinion.
I didn't need any more than that. Well, you're
I wanted a story of Jane and her cancer story and Mjolnir and dealing with that. For me to feel emotional to it is that was my whole point.
Okay. Well, had they put more there, then other parts of the story would have been rushed. So I'm not mad about it.
Oh, the whole movie was rushed and choppy.
I don't think so. Agree to disagree.
Yeah, I thought I really...
Fuck you, Amy.
Oh, my God.
I said, fuck you, miss.
So, I really... So, let's kind of change gears a little bit. Obviously, we've talked about Thor and Jane's relationship. Gore, the God Butcher, I mentioned earlier kind of his full arc of where he was praying to a god who obviously... didn't care for him. He was the last of his disciples. His daughter dies and pretty emotional about it. And then he ends up entrusting Thor, a god of thunder, to be there for his daughter after she is, resurrected through eternity. What do we think of, obviously, Gore the God Butcher? This is a very deep and layered character. I think you saw a lot of Taika Waititi's atheism showing through Gore, and I'm not complaining about it. I actually, that's just a note I had where you can definitely feel that almost, and it comes up not even through Gore, but plenty of times throughout the movie, different little things that he puts in there, and kind of the lack of faith. And so, yeah, what did we think of Gore's, not only Christian Bale's performance, but kind of the overall story? So, Clinton, I'm going to go with you. What would you think, man?
I think Gore was the standout of this movie. He was the one, for me, it was the, I mean, you said it, that I think everyone can relate to him in a way, whether you're religious or not, where you felt like you've prayed for something or wanted something so bad, and then it never happened for you. Right. For some people, that may be religion or maybe hope or, you know, keeping like a light in you, like it's going to get better. And then it doesn't. And when you, I guess, lose a child, I don't have children or anything like that. So I think they really represented him well. I wanted more of him, not in a negative way. I just wanted more. Like you said, you wanted more of Mighty Thor in the way that you just love that character. I wanted more of the, you know, that's how I am with him. Like I loved that character. And every time he was on screen, I was all about it. I think Christian Bale nailed that performance. He grounded the movie for me more than any character, because there was a lot of fantastical things in this movie, but Gore was the grounding character, even as the villain, if that makes sense.
It does.
And I think they did that on purpose. I think it was a purposeful, I didn't mind that tone shift, because we had this fun, fantastical, flamboyant movie that's fun and crazy and bright and colorful. And then you bring in Gore and it reminds you of like the darkness he's not only like representing, but the darkness he's went through. Mm-hmm. And it's like overtaking him. And the Necro Sword, the way they did the Necro Sword, it's like the more he's using it, the darker he's getting. But it also represents like how he's feeling because of his loss.
Yeah.
And so I think the way they did him is fantastic. I do not really understand why his daughter died, so now he's going to just kidnap children. That seemed a little counterintuitive to me, but
I think it's an eye for an eye type of situation. You took my daughter from me. I'm going to.
But he knows how it feels.
Yeah, that's my point. Yeah, like okay, you believe, and now I'm going to take your reason to believe as well.
I asked my coworker about one of my friends that I told y'all about. He listens. Shout out to you, Jesse, because I know you're going to listen to this tomorrow. But
hey, Jesse.
I asked him about that, and he loved this movie. Mm-hmm. He had a good time. Not the Jesse we went and watched the movie with Emmy. Different Jesse.
I'll be honest with you. He's a friend of mine, but lately it's getting hard, and I just can't even define. Jesse's got himself a girl, and I want to make her mine.
Oh, my God. I was like, you don't know Jesse.
Because he's watching him with his eyes, and I just know it.
It's a song.
He's he's holding her in his arms way, way late at night. You know, I just wish I had Jesse's girl, Clinton.
I wish I had Jesse's girl.
I can't believe you remember those lyrics.
Oh, I'm a Rick Springfield buff. It's a closet nice. Rick Springfield that I just opened
Bruce up. Springfield.
Bruce Springsteenfield. Yes, exactly. Anyway, so Jesse's girl. Jesse.
His perspective, he said, you know, I wondered that too, but then he said something like, maybe it was his way of protecting them because of the gods. Like he didn't want them to have to deal with the gods.
Oh, that was good.
I like that.
And I liked that perspective. And yeah, he knew he was about to kill the gods. So he was protecting them from the gods he was about to kill. I liked that perspective too.
That's a really good
one. I was going to say he's being poisoned by the necrophilia sword.
Necrophilia sword. They changed that in the comics. It's the
necrophilia sword.
And they're screaming at me. It comes from Null, and it's a symbiote sword, and it actually forms around you. It's part of a symbiote.
So,
and they couldn't use that because of Sony.
This is a point that my that Renee made as well. Like, was his tattoos kind of his religion, and he ended up like taking them off, and that's what you saw the scars
on
his head.
Damn it! I noticed that on my second watch, especially when it flashes. Between like the eternity and then it flashes back to his daughter, and it was so prominent, and I was like, oh damn, yeah.
All right, think that's brilliant.
I noticed that too.
I do too.
I think I like for that. Sure.
Yeah,
right. Where he was like, fuck this religion, I'm gonna scar out any part of it. Like just like you took the necklace off in the beginning and was like,
yeah, snapped it right away.
You don't deserve any praise or any worshipers, like
You're only thinking of yourself. You're not thinking.
Yeah.
And Taika didn't make him comic accurate looking because of Voldemort.
Well, and because when I see a picture of Voldemort and I see a picture of what Gore should have looked like, I don't really think that those two completely fit. I think that he looked a little bit more Voldemortish.
There is real thunder, by the way, you're hearing in Emmy's.
Thor is pissed that Clinton didn't like this movie.
Yeah, if you're wondering what that noise, I know we've talked about it a little bit, but it's like so perfectly timed. It is awesome. Yeah. While you were talking, Thor was
hammering. I tried, guys. Today I was like, when I get off work, I'm going to go rewatch this and give it another chance because there are some people on a second watch, it's better. I'm like, Captain Marvel was like that for me.
Right.
I didn't like it the first time. I liked it the second time. So it could be that movie for me. And then I thought, I'm not wasting my money on that fucking movie again.
Jesus.
Damn.
Wow, man. It's so funny because we saw it opening night Thursday. And then I'm a part of this rewards program at the theater, and I had two free movie tickets. So I cashed in on Saturday. So should have gotten you, Clinton. I could have gotten you a free ticket.
Should have.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd have wasted the gas to drive down there to watch it, but.
Oh, damn.
Well, that's to hang out with me, buddy. That's to hang out with
me. That's true. That's true. In those recliners.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I really.
Before we move on from Gore.
I apologize.
I really liked. So the first time that I watched it, I walked in a little bit late. Because Catherine, if you ever listen to this, that was the night that I was over at your house and we were talking about stuff. And I left your house at 9:30 to meet up at a movie at 9:30. So it's kind of your fault, but I don't blame you.
No, you.
Emmy, stood me up.
No, Emmy, ownership.
You don't get to blame people for you not leaving.
Yeah, that's time management. You just say, "Hey,
I need." Yeah, you're not great at it, honestly.
First about ever leaving? Podcast we ever record. If you listen to
you're not great about time management.
Oh, no. I said I have a movie at 9:30 and I dried off from her pool and I like stood up and put my, and I was like trying to go to the bathroom to like change.
It's 9:28 at this point.
She was still talking. And I that's what I'm bad at, is like interrupting someone to be like, cool, I got to go. Bye. Like, I don't like, I want to hear your whole story. And so I stood there and changed in her patio, on her back patio, underneath of my like swim cover up while she was still talking.
Catherine, it's all your fault.
It's not her fault, but no. Okay. Anyway, so I missed the beginning of it. So the first time that I saw Gore, I really liked how it was like, he looked like the Grim Reaper whenever he's outside of the town. It was really creepy. He pulled it off.
Renee said he looked like a skeleton. Like how,
that's what I thought.
How gaunt he was when he was walking. It looked very like death, but more death. Yeah. I like that. I like both. I think both sound really good. So we obviously talked about Gore. I'm going to go with my.
Did you talk about Gore, Brandon?
Yeah, about his. Well, I'll reiterate because I didn't really go into as much detail, but I did. I loved from start to finish his story. I loved how he poised questions I've asked plenty of times, and I still continue to ask. I really enjoyed his full circle moment where he chose love at the end. I thought that was just so freaking touching. Where he's in front of eternity. He can have whatever he wants. And instead he saw the God he always wanted to worship. And that is in Thor. And that is a beautiful thing because some people have not found that yet. And some people will never find that because they just don't believe in organized religion. I respect both. Trust me. and whatever side of the fence you're on, not trying to say, ooh, you should believe or you should not. I'm just saying it was a really cool message of Thor being that God he wanted, you know, and how amazing it is. And, you know, where, I don't know, I just thought it was so earned. I thought it was so earned at the end, especially with what Thor did for those kids and how he was there for them. And yeah, there's a lot of comedy punches in between there, but really how. And I love Heimdall's son too. I thought, God, what a cool voice he's got. He's going to have a great voice. He's already got an amazing one, but gosh, I really, really appreciated it and loved like the kids, like fighting with like teddy bears and like crazy shit. And just like empowering these kids that you have that power of Thor. And I don't know. I was here for it. And I think through those actions that really meant something to Gore. Gore was paying attention that whole time. And and obviously that final moment in eternity as well. I don't know. Christian Bale really did wonderful. His performance was so great to me. I loved it.
Yeah. I didn't believe it. I mean, like I didn't think that I was going to enjoy it as much as I did.
Yeah.
And I do think I was saying before, I do think that it really should shut up anybody who was like, he's not comic book accurate. Like, okay, he wasn't, but he was exactly what this movie needed.
I agree.
Exactly the villain that this movie needed, whether you liked it or not. And Clint disagreed, even though he didn't like the movie.
Yeah.
I want to shout out to, while we're talking about Gore and the necrophilia sword, the shadow monsters. And maybe this is why. This is just one of the reasons that I like this movie so much. Like this was, if I was a kid, that would be the creepiest, even as a 33-year-old adult, like that is the creepiest way that a villain could get to me is through these like shadows that just like, they just get like, you don't notice them. They just get longer and longer until they fucking grab you and put you in a cage.
That's why you don't use a night light, Amy. When it's pitch black, there's no shadows.
That's a good point,
Clint. But then when it's pitch black, they're all shadows.
No, shadow is not. No, that ain't.
You need light to create a shadow. Yeah.
Yeah, the house is creating a shadow around you.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I agree to disagree, Amy.
A shadow is not the absence of light. A shadow is.
We never said it was the absence of light.
Yeah.
You're saying it's the absence of light.
Yourself?
Yeah, you're saying it's the absence of light. The
definition of a shadow.
A shadow is something that's getting blocked. Something is blocking the light from reaching the ground.
But there's no.
In my room, it would be the house is blocking the light from reaching the ground.
What about at night?
And my house is blocking the light from reaching the ground.
What light?
Because there's still light reflecting off the moon from the sun.
Yeah, but not enough to, if it's a full moon, but you ain't getting light much if it's not.
What if it's a cloudy night like tonight, Emmy?
Yeah.
What if it's a street light? Street light's still a light.
I live out in the boonies. I can't answer to that. I don't have
dark area light. Or shape produced by a body coming between rays of light and a surface.
Yeah. So rays of light could be a street light, could be anything. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is I want my nightlight. but no, like that really, really was scary. And then I really liked that the kids, to your point, like were empowered to fight back against what I think is probably the scariest thing that I could think of as a child. And like they fought that.
Quicksand.
No, quicksand.
That's a fear I had as a child, and it did not.
Thor's pissed.
What?
I said Thor's pissed.
Yeah. I will say, okay, so we've kind of hammered on, that was not, but kind of. Gore, we talked about Jane and Thor's relationship. I want to touch base on my biggest disappointment of this movie. Tilda Swinton, who plays Valkyrie.
That's a running joke. Anybody new listening? Yeah, he knows it's not Tilda Swinton.
Tessa Swinton. Or what? Tilda Swinson?
Tilda Swanson? Samsonite.
Samsonite. I was way off. I knew it started with a T, though. No, Tessa Thompson. I only reason I say that is because I wanted more. I guess that is a great compliment to a movie. I wanted more Mighty Thor. I wanted more Valkyrie. Just because she was awesome in everything she was in. But I felt like it was just so... I mean, I hated when... They did the same thing. Here's a big critique of mine. Spider-Man, No Way Home. Spoilers, if you have not watched that movie, I'd be shocked if you haven't watched that movie, but you're listening to a Thor Love and Thunder review. But Spider-Man, No Way Home, Tobey Maguire, Spider-Man gets stabbed, and I was like, oh, this is it. And then he just lives. Valkyrie, same thing. It's like they can't make up their mind if they want to really kill off somebody or not. I mean, that was a pretty like big stab, and it killed all these gods, and Valkyrie's like, yeah, no, I lost a kidney. What? You know, and it's like you can tell like Marvel Studios is really struggling with indecisions. You know, like, ooh, hear me out. Let me finish. Okay. I feel like with the Tobey Maguire, I could look past it because I was like, Sony probably jumped in there and said, no, don't kill off our Spider-Man. We might make another movie way down the line. But this felt like Tessa Thompson's Valkyrie was like supposed to be this big sacrifice moment. And she's like, yeah, I'm just walking it off now. But you're going to have to do this alone because I lost a kidney. I'm like, that doesn't sound like Valkyrie. It feels like she would just be more of a, yeah, hell yeah, I'm stitched up. Let's go. Let's figure something out. I mean, this is Gore the God Butcher. He could take over. Like, I don't know. You can give the power of, I know I'm using too much logic, but you can give the power of Thor to all these children, but you can't give it to Valkyrie for a moment. You know, like, I don't know how, I feel like Valkyrie could have fought. I felt Valkyrie should have been there. I felt like Valkyrie was probably supposed to be killed off and then didn't. I don't know. It just felt very, I don't know. I loved every other thing with Valkyrie and I wanted more of her, but that was a misstep for me. And as a Tessa Thompson fan and a huge Valkyrie fan, I left wanting a lot more than what we got.
Okay. No, disagree. I think that both Korg and Valkyrie, those were fake outs because everybody was like, oh, Thor's going to die. Oh, so-and-so's going to die. Like everybody thought somebody else in this movie was going to die. I don't think very many people thought that Jane was going to die. Mm. And so I think when Korg made it and when Jane made it, or not, sorry, when Korg's, Thor made it,
Korg's head made it.
Yeah. And then he built a body back.
And he fell in love.
That was one moment when I said out loud in the theater, when Zeus, I thought, killed Korg, I said, fucking murder him.
Oh,
out loud.
Oh, shit. But he found...
And so I was very, very pleased when Thor did this.
He found Dwayne. I love how Korg found Dwayne. Dwayne the Rock.
Dwayne the Rock. Johnson. I got that on first watch, and I was really proud of myself for that.
My Renee got that as well. I got half of my opinions are Renee's because she really was. I mean, she was throwing things after the movie. Like I was like, I gotta make a note of that. I gotta make a note of that. It was sorry. Just proper shout out to Renee. Holy shit, she was on point on this movie.
Okay, so I do think that they were kind of like, okay, if we have Korg almost die, no, he doesn't. Valkyrie almost died, no, he doesn't. We're gonna, like, everybody's gonna think that Thor is gonna die, and then we're gonna switch in on him by making Jane die, I think is what.
But you're not addressing anything I said about Valkyrie not fighting for the final fight and just kind of
in the final fight. Okay, I think that she was right in that. And I completely agree. Yes, I always want more Valkyrie because I absolutely love her. She's a badass. I love the interaction between Thor and Valkyrie, because this movie, it was more like, hey, we're friends. And like, I know that we're on Team Jane, and like, I can see that you've got a crush and blah, blah, blah. Like, it was more like they were friends, mm-hmm. and less what Ragnarok was. I think that Valkyrie knows, had she gone on that final mission, had she died, who is going to be king of New Asgard now?
New Asgard might not even be a place after Gore the God Butcher is done with everything.
You're going to have to cut that silence. I can't handle it.
I feel like, but honestly, I think that's a very narrow-minded thing to think about. You're thinking about your place as king over this. I don't think that stands. That doesn't sound like Valkyrie to me.
Okay. I think that Valkyrie has enjoyed her time as king. I think that she enjoyed getting back into the fight and then was like, oh no. Okay, fine. You got a point. All right.
Clinton, what'd you think of Valkyrie?
I mean, I didn't mind Valkyrie. I'm with you. I wanted more of her. I felt like her character was shifted a little bit since Ragnarok, and maybe that's because she's been king of Asgard.
That makes sense. That she
shifted. I think it's part two that they're like friends now. Like we didn't have to see the progression of their friendship. Like, she's just like, yeah, so what? You're Thor, God of Thunder. Yeah. But we're like friends now. I'm king of New Asgard, so.
I guess I just wanted more of her. I think one of the most cringe scenes in the whole show or the whole movie was between her and Jane, where I got like secondhand embarrassment watching the scene.
Which one was that?
Where she's like, are you packing? And she pulls out her blade, and then she pulls out the daggers, and then she pulls out
the portable
grenade. She's like, Bluetooth speaker. And they sit there and just like, I'm like, oh God, this vibe. Is cringy as fuck. No. Oh my God, it was terrible.
I loved it.
No, it was very cringe.
The second time I saw the movie, I did the head tilt with him because I was enjoying it.
It just felt awkward to me.
No, I feel like that's a friends hyping each other up to go out and kick some ass.
Yep, I can see that.
Yeah, I don't have to see it on screen. There's plenty of awkward cringe things I do with my friends. I don't need it public to see it.
I liked it.
I didn't like it.
Man, we're all just different levels of. We're just a happy go lucky.
I thought we'd get more Valkyrie. I think
that's where I wanted more.
This movie's like my Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness for Brandon. And there was a movie recently with Emmy that she didn't like that we liked, wasn't there?
There was an episode of Miss Marvel. Episode 4.
It was an episode of Miss Marvel. Okay,
I will say this though. I read this on the tweeters, on Twitter, and I wish I remembered who did it. It's not a listener of ours. It was just a casual page that I looked at. But I think they said it really, really well. And this is kind of so we're going to go a little bit off from Thor Love and Thunder for a moment, guys, but this is one of the things I wanted to bring up for this review. They said after Endgame, it felt like we fought the final boss in a video game, and Phase 4 has felt like a lot of the side quests of that said video game. Yeah, some enjoyable stuff here and there, but it doesn't feel as important and impactful as the main story that we just finished. And so I wanted to bring this topic up to you because Phase 4 has been going for a good minute now, and we have seen quite a few properties, whether they're Disney Plus, Marvel Studios movies. We've had a good share of what we've seen so far. So kind of my point I want to bring to you guys and pose a question to both of you is, I'm going to start with you, Clinton. Do you feel that Phase 4 has felt very disjointed and we don't know where we're going? Doesn't feel like there's that same path. Even the very first phase of the MCU, from Iron Man to the very first Avengers, we were pretty quickly at the very end. Nick Fury said, we've become a part of a bigger world, just don't know it. Hulk, we saw Tony Stark. You know, Iron Man 2, we saw Thor's hammer. We kind of were like, oh, we're teaming up. We're getting on this adventure. Bam, good. Oh, Thanos is here. What's Thanos doing? And we keep that trajectory. Oh, we see Thanos in Phase 2 in Guardians of the Galaxy. We continue to piece together this narrative. And we see the stones, Thor Dark World, as well. So it felt like already we were just kind of on a path really early on. And through Phase 4, I'm not seeing it, and I'm not seeing where we're going. And it, like this whole mythical, well, you just got to wait. We're going to get there. Okay, that's fine. But this is a lot of hours of entertainment that we've been watching, and some of it has been really, really good. Don't get me wrong. Some of it, hit or miss. We're talking about one right now. Regardless if I loved it, someone else didn't. Multiverse of Madness, same thing. So I just feel like, do you feel like through phase four so far that we really are where we need to be for a continuity sake for storytelling?
I'm torn here because, yes, I do. However, we're dealing with a multiverse, so they can work it that way. They can spin it that way. We were building an origin story in the beginning. The Infinity Saga is really building up core characters and then fighting the big bad. This one is new characters for one. And I think, I'm not saying us, but I think a lot of people are frustrated with that. They're introducing a lot of new characters at once and to build other teams. And we got a little, I wouldn't say spoiled. We just saw the origin of it all. You know what I mean? With the first three phases. And the multiverse, we're in different places at different times. I know this is still set in the same place, but we've seen a lot of the multiverse with the shows, with Multiverse of Madness. So I think we're going to have a conclusion that we're going to be like, ah, that makes more sense now. Mm-hmm. We don't, I think we're a little thrown because we don't. Well, no, not jumping the gun. I think the creative difference, I'll talk about that in a second. I think we don't have a big bad to look at the whole time right now. We don't know who that is, and we're used to that. So we knew that any goon or villain in a movie before was working for Thanos, and we were after Thanos, right? So now we don't...
The first phase, what I talked about, Iron Man through Avengers, we saw Thanos at the very end. We never knew any of that until the very, very end of the last movie. We didn't need that big goon in the sky to connect us, and they still made it
work. No, but we were getting an origin story of a team being... team being built here. We don't know really what we're getting.
Oh, that's a good point. Okay. But see, more to the critique side of that too. More to the critique, we don't know what we're getting, and it's like, I mean, I feel like the picture should be a little bit more clear right now, shouldn't it?
That's what we're used to, though. That's all we've had, so we don't know what they're doing now.
Okay.
And that's part of the tension. I think I watched a TikTok earlier. Straw Hat Goofy. He's really popular with Marvel stuff on TikTok. I know Brandy references him a lot. He's got a lot of good videos, but he talked about how he thinks Phase 4's given a lot of creative freedom. We had the Marvel Studios previously, right? And they were really handling everything. In Phase 4, Kevin Feige's given a lot of freedom to the directors. So in Multiverse of Madness, it didn't feel like an MCU movie. It felt like a Sam Raimi movie. This was a Taika Waititi movie. Like, it just felt like, it feels like these movies, Chloe Zhao did Eternals, and it was her style. And he said the theme and the philosophical parts of it was there, but there was superheroes too. And it's like, they're not first with these directors, and they're giving them a lot of creativity here. So it's style first, and then there's superheroes in there, versus before it was superheroes and it kind of had the same formula or style before. But now they're giving a lot more freedom to these directors, and it's their style and creativity first with superheroes. So it's a little jarring for the viewer that's used to normal MCU properties.
I would agree with that, because I was going to say it feels like Phase 4, they kind of built up this huge like thing, and they're like, yes, we're good. You know, we've got a loyal fan base now. Let's take some serious risks. And if we lose some people, we lose some people. But, like, let's at least swing for the fences. See what sticks.
I like that, though.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what they're doing. And I think once they kind of figure out what sticks, and then they might tweak some stuff down the road to make it more palatable for people. Not palatable. That sounds wrong. But, like, to make it more fun for people and more enjoyable for the fan base that has stuck around. And I think a lot of us have stuck around, even though there have been some missteps here and there. But I like that they're taking risks, that they're all a little bit different. And in my opinion, I'm okay not knowing, because I trust that they know what they're doing.
I respectfully disagree with the superheroes above directors just for this phase. I felt like James Gunn, that was a very James Gunn Guardians of the Galaxy. I thought it was a very Ryan Coogler Black Panther. I thought it was very Russo Brothers Infinity War Endgame. I really also, you know, I just believe we have seen a lot of creativity with these directors before. I don't think Phase 4 is putting that above. I feel like we've seen it. We have. My whole thing is, you know, the linear direction just feels a little scattered right now. And you can have creativity and still have a path. You know, that I am not saying stifle your... Hold on. I'm not saying stifle your creativity as a director and try what sticks and doesn't stick. It just feels... And I know we're still early on. I get it. But we have seen so many movies and shows, and it just feels like, all right, it's still... And I'm hoping by the end of Phase 4 we get a little bit more clarity. But, I mean, even halfway through Phase 3, I was putting it together. And I know that's part of the Infinity Saga, but, I mean, it was still. So I do believe directors have had a chance to be themselves and that work in that environment. I totally believe Black Panther was a Ryan Coogler film. I totally believe Guardians of the Galaxy was a James Gunn film. I saw that, and I thought that's what made Marvel Studios kind of a good landing spot for some of these directors, because they could put so much of their personality. I believe we talked about that in previous reviews. Yeah. So I don't think it's that. It's just more of a, what are we doing? Where are we going? And I don't know, and I don't feel like I've gotten that yet. And as a viewer of these movies for a long time and an obsessive fan almost, I feel like at some point you're going to have to throw me a bone and tell me which way we're going, you know, and... You know, and I know it's the multiverse, it's complicated, but doesn't mean it has to be less than desirable storytelling, I guess, from an overall overarching narrative standpoint.
It's been the most divisive phase, I would say.
Oh, I agree. 100%.
And I'm not saying, I know Clinton said that about the directors. I'm just saying that they're taking bigger risks, and they being the studio, not just the directors.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
They're taking
huge
risks with their movies and shows. And I do think that once it all comes together, we're going to look back on this and be like, God, we were blind. Mephisto was there the whole time.
If Mephisto is the interconnected, and it was, I don't know. Yeah.
I don't mind it. I know it's a little chaotic right now. Even in movies, that I don't like this one, I still like being surprised. I feel like previously, and you, a little disagreement to your disagreement, Brandon, is yes, James Gunn came in and made Guardians, but Guardians was something that had never been done before, and it wasn't like, but it still had the same formula. Like these movies, these Phase 4 movies are drenched in a tone. They just, you can tell more than anything. I feel like if James Gunn had full creative freedom, it would be like raunchy and harsh, like he's had with DC. And there's something about, and maybe it's not just the directors, maybe it's just the tone. Like Multiverse of Madness, straight up most horror we've had in the MCU. It's just drenched in that. You know what I'm saying? This is, Love and Thunder is drenched in like quirkiness.
And Taika.
Like, yeah. Which is Taika. And then we had Chloe Zhao. She was like an indie filmmaker who like did depthier things. And this was drenched in that. It was a drama. You know what I'm saying? Like it just felt like it was just drenched in this one tone.
But is that
versus the other phases felt more. Yeah. There was they kept that comedy tone. It had the same kind of feel that Marvel does. They like to have it just felt more balanced, and we had that, like you said, a direction, and we don't hear. And now we're just, since we don't have a direction, maybe that's why we're focusing on the tone more than we ever did. You know, I don't know. I'm not trying to argue with you. It feels different, and if each movie feels different versus the other ones. Yeah, there was new characters, new directors who made it, revived it or whatever, but it still had this same familiarity to it versus Phase 4 movies haven't felt that way.
I don't know. You say that on the heels of just making a point in Ms. Marvel that it felt very formulaic with a lot of the Disney Plus shows. You said that in the last review. So I would say there's still...
In the shows, yeah.
You know, that's my point.
I'm talking about the movies.
Well, I'm talking about the Phase 4, and the shows are included.
Oh, fair.
So, I don't know.
I feel like we've beat this.
Oh, we have. All right, we'll move on. So
right, that was the goat.
So we're going to go back to the movie, guys. I want to ask you, what did we think of Russell Crowe as Zeus? Clinton, you couldn't hide your face there. You tried, but you immediately,
always keep going to me first.
Okay.
This.
Sorry. I will start. Russell Crowe as Zeus. Absolutely hysterical. Absolutely wonderful. When he came down, he held that little skirt and he came down the stairs. I thought it was funny. I thought it was also very like, you know, you will not be invited to the orgy. Like, you know, and he's like, keeps using that over Zeus's, or Thor's head. And Thor, like, you know, what the hell is the, it was really, really, I don't know. I can see how someone would be disappointed in the Zeus we got. I'm not going to even disagree with you, but for me, it was really, really just absolutely hysterical. Don't meet your heroes. I guess don't meet your gods either. Cause it was, that was really, really fun. And speaking of the whole gods thing where, I'm just going to give a shout out to one line from the movie that really, really cracked me up. Has nothing to do with Zeus, but when they're getting on the goat boat and he's like, we are going to take the children. And, you know, like he says, we're going to, you know, eat.
We're coming back with children and then we will feast.
Yeah, but not on the children. Yes, he's like, not on the children. We don't do that anymore. Those were dark, dark days. I just lost it. The whole theater lost their mind. They were laughing really hard at that line because he was just like, it was because... Things, obviously, some fucked up shit happens in the past, and you realize, what the hell were they thinking? And I love that Thor's been alive long enough where he's like, yep, we don't do that anymore. Like, anyway, so, like, how gods and how history and, I don't know, I liked it. I thought it was really funny. So, anyway, okay. Back on Zeus. Emmy, what'd you think?
Zeus, and I understand why people were upset about the way that they did Zeus, okay, but what he was supposed to be in this movie was a joke, and that's what he was. And that is absolutely, I am totally fine with them doing him this way, because he is the leader of the gods. And if you really look at Greek mythology, Zeus is an absolute asshat fucker.
Exactly.
And he is like the baddest of the bad, and he is awful. So at least he's a joke in this, and he's not, I mean, he's pretty bad, but he's not like the absolute worst. And did you see that one of his kids is there, Dionysus, the god of wine? Did y'all catch him?
I did not.
Oh, he's surrounded by grapes. They show him a couple times. But
nice.
Yeah, I absolutely, I loved it. I thought that the first time that I saw it, I didn't see Russell Crowe at all. And the second time I was like, yeah, that's Russell Crowe. And he's doing a fabulous job.
Yeah. All right. Clinton, I know what you thought. Let's go.
I mean, Emmy summed it up for me. He was supposed to be a joke, which is what I felt like this movie did to a lot of things. And I didn't want that. That's why.
Okay. But he was supposed to be a joke because Gore saw gods as jokes. Like he and all the gods that were staying there that were like, oh, well, we don't want to die, but we're not going to protect our humans. Like it was, they were all saving their own skins and fuck the people who worship me, which is what it was supposed to do in this movie.
But I feel like they obviously have set up Hercules now. And Hercules is going to be probably a more serious adversary.
I don't know. If Taika's coming back, I don't know if I would count your chickens.
Yeah, yeah, fair. I don't know.
Okay. Well, okay. John brought this up, but I had already been questioning. Disney has announced a Hercules live action. And now Marvel has announced a Hercules live action. Is there a possibility that they could be one in the same?
No, not at all.
Okay, no.
No. I think the MCU Hercules will be a different figure entirely.
Okay. But why? Because as me...
But Disney and Marvel are... They're separate. I mean, they're owned by Disney, but it's a separate... It's the same thing.
Yeah, that's true. But like, let's take Mulan. Mulan, fantastic story. They absolutely fucking ruined it, made it live action, and took out Mushu.
That girl I see?
Yeah, that one's not in a live action.
Oh, that's disappointing.
Right? So why would we think that a live action Hercules would have all the bops that the actual cartoon Hercules has in it?
Well, I mean, Beauty and the Beast had all the bops plus a bonus one.
I don't care about the live action Disney Hercules shit. I'm just wondering about the MCU one.
And there it is. That would,
be kind of confusing if there was like Hercules in an MCU movie and Hercules the live action.
I don't think it's going to be a Hercules movie. I think it's going to be Hercules is going to be featured in a Thor movie. It's not
okay, but still, it's going to be confusing if there's
not for most people. Emmy, I don't think.
Okay. Yeah, for Emmy, it's maybe I mean, there's been multiple Hercules already. Were you confused from the cartoon from the 90s? Because we saw one in this movie.
Yeah, Kevin Sorbo. Yeah,
I think he's not playing the live action one.
No, never mind. He's canceled.
What about Xena? She's canceled too, isn't she?
No, she's not. Is she?
She's not.
I don't think Lucy Lawless got canceled. Xena did. Sorry, Xena. The show did. I got
the Warrior Princess.
Just because we say canceled doesn't always mean.
I think something we can agree on is there is an overarching theme between the shows and the movies of Phase 4, and that's gods. We're seeing that a lot.
That is very true. Mm. And I really like that this, especially the scene in Omnipotent City, that it answers the questions of how do gods interact, because you see they yes, point out Ra, who's an Egyptian god, mm-hmm. and you see some like Aztec gods, you see all these different gods interacting with each other.
That's a really good point. Yeah, and
because we've asked like before, like, oh well, now that we know Khonshu, bless you, is a thing, like how does Khonshu interact with Thor? And now we know.
Yeah, that's really cool. Another quick, just so we've talked about some big casting and we've talked.
Oh,
sorry, Amy. What?
Okay. Before we move on from Omnipotent City, mm-hmm. I think one of my favorite scenes of this is when they're going to bum rush and Ding Dong take the Thunderbolt, and we're not going to bum rush anybody. Who are you guys?
I love the way he said it too. He's like, who are you guys? Like he's just like appalled by their behavior.
Love that. And then when they finally do bum rush, Ding Dong, bish bosh, take the Thunderbolt. Okay, god blood is gold.
Yep, that's how you get away with showing that brutality of the scene. Yeah,
yeah.
Had that been an actual scene, because I thought about it both times I was watching it, had that been actual blood, it would have been disgusting.
It would have been rated.
And a lot of people had died if it was actual blood.
But because it was gold, it was beautiful. It was gorgeous.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
so it's a color thing for you about murdering.
I heard your joke, and I'm going to keep going. Why doesn't Thor bleed gold?
Oh, yeah, he has. Well,
do you not remember in the first Thor movie? Doesn't Odin call him out about that? He's like, he says something about we are not gods, we are. He has this big speech.
Yeah,
about how we are not gods. We are. Something.
Yeah, it was basically like announcing that they were demigods, but not gods, essentially, right?
That's what it felt like.
We're gods with a lowercase g, is what I always thought they. But,
I think that everybody in Omnipotent City were gods with a lowercase g. I think that the uppercase g just comes in if you worship them.
But they were fighting Zeus's people, and he's definitely a big G, right?
I would assume.
No, yeah, do you not see his necklace with the big G on it? Huh?
G unit.
he's a god.
Right.
It would be Zeus with a capital Z, because that's what you call him.
Yeah.
What?
Like, God is his title. Not Zeus.
Yeah, but what about God? God. I'm trying to bring it into this world.
I don't know.
I don't think
you should. You're trying to merge Disney and Marvel and our world.
Okay. All right. Sorry. Lowercase g, though, I feel like for anybody who you don't worship.
So.
Or fictional, I guess.
All right.
Oh, God.
All right. We're going to try to crawl out of that hole.
Talk to your therapist about it, Emmy.
Okay, cool. Yeah. All right. But really, though, why doesn't Thor bleed gold?
I tried to answer that, and you didn't like my answer. So you just asked me again.
Well, he also says that if gore kills all gods, then everybody in New
Asgard,
right,
is gone. So if he kills all gods, then they're all gods.
That's it.
Why would the God Butcher be going after Thor if he's just a demigod? Boom.
Still got God in his name. He still rules over people.
And he said kill all gods. He didn't say kill some of the gods and some of the demigods. He said kill all. And if you got that G in your name, I guess you qualify.
Yeah, I mean, the Asgardian gods are protecting their people. They're the gods over them.
So they're gods. Boom. Boom.
Yeah. All right. We're going to move on.
Whatever makes you feel better, Amy.
We're going to move on. So another one that a real quick appearance, but I really, really enjoyed Lady Sif. I really enjoyed maybe your arm is in Valhalla. I don't know why. I just want to give a shout out to hilarious moment. I literally bust out laughing. I thought that was the stupidest thing I ever heard. She's like, you're going to die. And you had to die to in battle to go to Valhalla. And she goes, shit, like, just that was really hysterical to me. And the fact that he's like, well, your arm died in battle, maybe your arm's in there, like, just like, oh my god. It also shows the ridiculousness of some thoughts. And I thought it was really hilarious. It was like, no, it doesn't make sense. So anyway, I think this is more of Taika's atheism showing here, where he's just more like a DC. You see what I'm doing here? And I'm not trying to preach atheism. I hope you're not taking it that way. But the director, we're seeing it drenched, folks. And Taika is drenched.
Are you mocking me?
No, I'm not. I'm saying, like, that's
you disagreed with me about that.
Oh, when you said the drench thing, I never came back after that. I never said anything after that.
You got tired of me talking.
I did. No, that was me. I got tired of y'all arguing.
Yeah, that was it. Hey. She said we were beating it to death, so we moved on.
Like
she was the god thing.
I didn't beat that to death. I moved on.
Like, yeah, you were kind of tiptoeing in that area too. We're all just
speaking of beating it to death. Sif lost an arm Star Wars.
Wow!
It continues.
Wow! And
this scene, was a big example to me of the tone didn't fit. We haven't seen Lady Sif. People wondered about her, and they just make this whole scene a joke. Mm-hmm. And I hated that.
Okay.
It annoyed the shit out of me that, like, I wanted more from this with Lady Sif, and we just got fucking jokes the whole time.
God, the Warriors 3, they completely just flipped them off this movie. They're like, and that guy, and this guy, they didn't even give him first names.
And then his brother. Yeah, and then his brother again.
It was, I was like, ooh, if I played like one of those guys, I would feel pretty pissed because they just literally, they didn't give them any time of day. Mm-hmm.
Fine.
And remember, we got Lady Sif and Loki, and people were like excited about it because we'd been wondering what mm-hmm. she'd been doing.
Yeah.
And then we get her here, and it's just this, she don't have an arm, and we're going to make a joke about her not having an arm the whole time. It just felt out of place for me. I wanted more of Lady Sif. This was the place you could have her in Thor, right? Like Lady Sif, she's back. Laying there without an arm, and we're going to make jokes.
We're going to ask about it, and we're not going to listen to any answers.
I was finishing my statement just because I didn't let you interrupt. Don't get pissed at me.
If we had to guess, I'm assuming that because she had an unrequited thing for Thor, she bibbidi-bopped the fuck out of there and was like, I can't be around you. I need to heal from this crush, and I know that you are not going to reciprocate it. And so she was probably not in Asgard, obviously, whenever Ragnarok happened. And she was off, probably saving people and doing what Sif does.
This is all assumption.
Yeah, it's assumption. But she was in two episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., maybe three. So maybe watch that and then come for me.
I don't know if it's been established as canon, Emmy, if Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is canon.
Oh, man. Talk about a controversial opinion. All right. So, guys, we're also going to touch base on the Guardians. The Guardians were in this a very brief amount of time. Obviously, I thought Star-Lord and Thor's banter with each other right at the end, especially, you know, find something to give a shit about, you know, because I'd rather have this shitty feeling than not feel anything at all. I thought it was a beautiful line. I thought it was really, really great. And it almost kind of shows how Star-Lord is maturing a little bit too. And I really enjoyed seeing the Guardians. Yes, it was too quick. That's kind of the theme of this review, but I loved what we did get to see of them. Kind of whet my appetite for Guardians 3. And obviously, mm-hmm. Gamora missing, not a mistake. Gamora, you know, I think she's still on the run. They've been doing a lot of soul searching probably within themselves and probably looking for Gamora. That's probably what they're searching out. And you know, I don't know. I really appreciated it. Loved it. Oh my God. The part where, Mantis is, what sound do you think a goat makes or something? She's like, bah.
No, try to do the goat whistle.
Try to do the, yeah. And she goes, bah. And he goes, nope, that's not it. Like it was, I love Korg. We haven't really touched base on Korg. Korg, Taika, wonderful. Love him so much, but also the Guardians. It was great to see him. And just enough. We saw it right at the beginning. Boom. And they went about their way and they didn't have any problem leaving it, you know, like you can have my ship.
Get rid of the goat.
Yeah. And Thor, I think as well. I think Thor has overstayed his welcome.
I think so too.
Yeah.
Him and Star-Lord's clashing.
Exactly. Exactly. And the way he's like, well, you can have this ship. She's been, oh, you're giving me my ship. she's a good old lass. Like,
I loved all that too. Yeah. I did like all that with the Guardians.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that.
I thought it was great. So guys, Guardians, love it. Cannot wait for more of them there. I really think this iteration of the Guardians is absolutely wonderful. So, and I can't wait to see the story of Gamora continue, and as well as the rest of the Guardians cast.
We speculated that it wasn't Karen Gillian playing Nebula, but according to the credits, it was. I think that maybe they just didn't use any of the shots where she's actually looking in the camera. Or like looking towards the camera.
I think you and I separately brought that up to each other. Had the same thought I did when we watched it. When I looked at her, it did not look like her.
Oh, I didn't think that at all. I thought it looked like Karen Gillian.
Really?
But it is according to the credits, so we were wrong.
Unless they did like CG over her instead of actual prosthetics or something.
Since it was so short. But
yeah, I don't know.
They're filming Guardians 2 right now, or Guardians 3 right now too, aren't they?
Maybe right now, but I don't think they were when they were filming this.
Yeah. Okay. I was going to bring up that first little fight scene. What did you guys think about that?
Oh,
which one?
Yeah,
the one with the blue people.
I loved it. I loved it.
It felt was Hemsworth coming down. He broke the
felt
temple
like
and everything.
Thor and Fraggle Rock had a baby, and I was here for it.
All right.
Yeah.
Here's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Because I had to do that too.
Yeah.
Mad Max means Farscape.
Yes. Yes. I was so here for it. I enjoyed it. And I just love the split. I love the screams. I love how reckless he is because, you know, I mean, I think that's kind of always been a, like, even the very first Thor movie, Loki's like, you know, you're just going in a little reckless, brother, you know, and he's still kind of a crazy out there wild dude. And, you know, I don't know. take these goats. You said you would take them now.
And I think that was a punishment.
It was 100%. 100%. They were like, yeah,
guess what I thought of it.
You hated it because you said that at the beginning of your review. You said you hated that they crushed the temple. You said that.
Okay.
It just didn't fit his arc in my opinion. And the split thing was awkward too.
It felt
weird.
The whole 80s thing.
You are nitpicking at that point.
It just didn't feel like Thor. It didn't feel like I was watching Thor.
It
feel like I was watching his character. You can speak now, Amy.
It could be that he doesn't know who he is now, and so he's going back to a time when he didn't know who he was, and he was like, okay, so like I'm going to revert back to like, this is me at the beginning of Thor. That was the last time I really knew who I was, and I'm going to work from there. And so he kind of had to revert a little bit because he's no longer King of Asgard. He's no longer in a relationship with Jane. He probably did revert a little bit. And you, at the beginning, you said he's a bit of a dummy dumb. I feel like because he doesn't have all those added pressures at Thor, like son of Odin, like he's no longer that. He's just, he doesn't have those pressures, and so he don't interrupt me. I think that Thor deep down is a goofy dude, and I think that now that he doesn't have to be like the, oh, I'm the Prince of Asgard and I've got to be all proper, so he's just kind of like being a little bit of a goober.
A fireman's helmet.
Yeah, what were you gonna say?
You're referencing him in his Thor solo movies. You're completely cutting out any of his arc through the whole sagas.
Because
you keep referencing the way he was in the Thor movies.
Yeah, because that's part of his arc.
The beginning of his arc. Think of Thor from, okay, we had goofy Thor in Ragnarok, but it didn't feel crazy goofy. It just felt like his humor was there. He was more like grounded and down to earth and knew how this all worked. It worked because I felt like the pacing and timing of the humor in it was good. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then we get, after Ragnarok, we have Endgame, right?
Infinity War. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, yeah, Infinity War and then Endgame. And we think of like where he went with that. And then you jump into this and it's like, it's jarring. You're like, whoa, okay.
Well, I mean, to be fair, Endgame, he was down on his luck for 5 years drinking video games with Korg.
Yeah.
That will change somebody. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. And then he finally got that redemption of getting to step out on the battlefield and finally defeat Thanos for real.
But I don't think that changes a personality trait. I don't think that changes your personality. I think that that's a wonderful, huge moment, but we were established that there's a broken Thor here, a very hurt in Thor. Yes, he got that revenge. He got that, but that alone is not going to cure all the trauma that you've experienced for 5 years plus. And that's my point. I'm thinking there's still a very fractured human being or God beneath all this that we really haven't seen come out of through everything, you know, like, and so I mean, don't get me wrong. He had a huge arc in Endgame, or he had a huge moment in Endgame, but I don't think it was an arc, if that makes sense. I think it was more like, he even says at the end, I've got to figure out who I am. At the very end of Endgame, he says, I've got to figure out who I am. You know, you know, ruling Asgard, that's not my thing. And so, yeah, I feel like this Thor is still, we're still getting to know this one. I don't know.
Okay, and so Endgame, all right? He was depressed. He was down on his luck, 5 years drinking, playing video games. He had that big moment to kill Thanos, and that kind of, like, that could have been the spark that brought him out of that. And he was like, okay, I've got to change something. I've got to do something. And no, of course, that's not going to heal everything, but that can kickstart a recovery. Like some kind of like, this is not the end all be all fix all, but I'm going to start working on myself. I need to figure out who I am.
Oh, I was going to your point, Emmy. It's like, I think that's where he is now because of those things. I'm agreeing with you.
And he's not fixed yet, but what do we all use to fix our trauma, to cover up our trauma?
Weed.
Alcohol.
Oh, no. Humor.
Just kidding.
Humor. All use humor. And I think that's, he's like, okay, I'm not going to go back into my depression. I'm not going to be that Thor anymore. I worked too hard to get the God bod back. And so I'm going to use humor to deflect and keep myself, he says even, to keep myself at arm's length away from people. And so he's being goofy and using humor as a coping mechanism.
Okay. Great. And we're going to we disagree. I'm not going to say much more on it. My whole thing was, it is jarring at the beginning of this to see him have so much disregard for a race of people and to be completely just reckless from the Thor we've seen. Not, when I say arc, I'm talking about from the Thor movie one to the till Endgame, his whole arc, not just one or two movies, his whole arc of where he came from and where he ended up. It was jarring for me to see him turned into like this, just have fun, crazy, reckless Thor, because I feel like in the dark spots he was in, he was thinking of other people, and his whole thing was, he hurt because he couldn't save half the universe and couldn't kill Thanos. So his regard for people should be higher. And he don't give two shits about this race's temple that meant so much to them. And they address it jokingly with the goats and like a punishment. I get that. It just felt jarring to me to see him like this from there.
But he's still trying to figure out who he is. So maybe he went and was like, okay, maybe that original me is me. And maybe I need to go back to that and do, because that.
But original him wasn't like that at all. Original him was.
Yeah, it was.
In the first Thor?
In the first Thor, he went into the Frost Giant's place.
Oh, the recklessness. Like, yes. Yeah. Not the goofiness, though.
No, but that's part of his growth. So, like, but he was.
But the growth should be not to be reckless anymore, is my point. Like, that's one thing I feel like he would take away from that.
Ah! That was the goat.
I think that's a good point, Clint. I really do. I like that.
That's what I meant. I wasn't good at saying it, just his overall arc. It jarred me to see him just be like this at the beginning.
Yeah. So real quick, guys, I'm going to go through one big major disappointment that I'm super, super bummed about. No Grandmaster. I really was hoping to see some Jeff Goldblum. I was really, really disappointed. I know really the theme of this movie is I wanted more. A lot of it I loved, and I wanted more of what I loved. But I really, really, I mean, where would you fit him? I don't know. But just he's such a fun, quirky, weird character. And this is such a fun, weird, quirky movie. God, you could have really found something, I would think, but it just didn't.
They filmed something.
Yeah. Okay. I wish.
And they cut. So they filmed a Grandmaster. They filmed a scene with Hedda Lee. There's like she's trying to sue Marvel because she didn't get aired for her scene. Oh. The girl who played Cersei in Game of Thrones.
Lena Headey.
I was saying Hedalini.
Hedalini.
I thought I knew who you were talking about.
Hedalina.
And there's another character from Ragnarok. Who was it that filmed something in
was
the
Lena Headey in Ragnarok?
No. There was a third character. They filmed scenes for Grandmaster.
Peter Dinklage.
But
he was in Endgame, he was in Infinity War. He was not in Ragnarok. But I know they probably filmed something with Peter Dinklage as well that we never got to see. And I really wish we could have seen some more of these characters. I don't know. That's a little bit of a nitpick for me is I see this cast and I think it could have even been bigger and better. And we didn't get some characters. I would have loved to see I really would have loved to see what Eitri was up to. I would have loved to see what Grandmaster was up to. Because I don't know where else we're going to see it unless a Thor movie. Maybe we will. I don't know. But a little missed opportunity, in my opinion.
I know that this is going to absolutely shock you.
Didn't hate it.
Oh, no. I mean, obviously, I fucking love the movie.
Yeah.
But I still have some notes.
Oh, yeah. Let's get to Power Hour with notes.
All right. I loved the intro music. Did you guys see that Miss Marvel is in the intro now?
Yes.
I did not, actually. No.
She is. I caught that on the second viewing.
Love that.
Very proud.
All right.
I love that Thor rides Stormbreaker into battle, and I thought that he was going to get off and be like, just kidding. But no, he actually rides it around, and then you see him on the broomstick,
come on!
Yeah.
And honestly, I swear, if I'm not mistaken, Palm, she plays Mantis. I swear she broke character. I think she broke character. I think she actually smirks here. Like, I think when he jumps down, she's like, oh shit. Like, I think if you watch her, I think she breaks. I think Chris did something stupid and goofy. Obviously, jumping off is goofy enough, but I think he did something else that caught her attention.
I mean, putting it in between his legs, like he's
just
witch.
Jumping.
Like,
I honestly would not be surprised if that was just completely ad lib. Like, oh, I'm gonna just ride off like a little witch on my broom, and like they weren't ready for that.
Okay.
Boss Logic did a sketch with like the moon. It looks like it's like moon, and it's just like the worst silhouette with Stormbreaker riding it.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And he did like Thor, Love, and Thunder, and like witch riding or something.
Oh, I love that.
It's really cool. You should follow Boss Logic. He's got some cool stuff on Twitter.
Hell yeah.
All right. Did you notice that Thor has Nick Fury in his phone?
Not Nick
whenever
Fury.
Whenever he picks it up at the restaurant. I thought the first watch, I thought it was Nick Fury. But the second watch, it is definitely Nick Fury.
It is wonderful.
I'm here for Nick Fury.
I did like that scene in the movie a lot where he's like reaching for Mjolnir and then you see Stormbreaker come out of the hallway slowly.
Yes. The relationship.
That made me laugh.
Oh, there you are. There you are. I was just calling you.
Yeah, exactly. I really enjoyed, and I know Clint, it got old for you. They were kind of really hitting on it throughout the entire movie, but I really did enjoy the whole Stormbreaker almost having a personality and Mjolnir being like so what if I have my ex weapon here? Like, I thought that was really, really campy, but funny. I thought it was really, really funny.
Yeah, I completely agree. And it kind of makes sense because the handle is made from a Groot. And I feel like if you planted that, because he pulls it out and it's got roots, like, would it?
Yeah, it grows. In the comics, it grows too. Yeah. I was okay. actually surprised we didn't see it. They pulled it out a little early, and that sounds really weird. That's what she said. Yeah. Or that's what he said. I don't know. But either way, like...
Better early than late.
That's what I always say.
But so it might have some of those like feelings because it's made out of a Groot.
I never thought of it like that, but that kind of makes sense. You know, it's a real plant. I mean, it can't...
I don't...
Yeah.
Listen, this movie made me laugh a lot. I'm not saying I hated the whole thing.
Yeah, my whole... That's what it sounded like.
Well, I know. My problem is it felt like they were beating a dead horse with jokes. I feel like they kept recycling a lot of things.
But that's sometimes.
That's okay. It's okay. My opinion. It's okay. I enjoyed it for a lot of jokes, but I felt like they leaned into those same jokes a lot and made it just jokey movie, spoofy.
Do you think if this wasn't a Thor movie and it was just something, because you've grown to know this character through several movies now, do you think you would have enjoyed it more had this not be like maybe the same movie, but with a completely different, obviously, cast, crew and characters? Yes. You think you would have liked it more?
Probably. If I didn't know the history.
Yeah. Maybe.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. I think you're spot on. I could have enjoyed this going into it, knowing it was going to be a slapstick comedy almost.
Yeah.
But okay. I'm going to say, whenever I do the credits names, the more I say it, the more it makes me giggle. And I feel like the same way with Taika Waititi. He's just like, say it more, it makes me giggle more. And I think that's what he did. And I think it works on me. And that's why I found it hysterical. I loved it.
Are cool. we going to credits now?
No, I'm just... Sorry, I wanted to comment on your thing, but then Brandon had his hand up, and so I was following the rules.
I've really brought some tension into the room tonight, even between two people that agree.
Oh, I've been pretty chill. I don't know what you guys are.
Emmy's on edge. I think it's the spirits in her room that's making her.
Stop it.
She's on vacation with her family.
The family
ghost. The ghosts in the Victorian home.
The Victorian bed that has the post,
big, huge.
They look like big devil horns in the back.
Like yeah,
kind of looks like it's doing this to you.
Oh,
does it?
Mm. Big bird. Mm. All right. I
that is not yellow.
Loved that they did another play in this.
Yes,
and I absolutely loved that Melissa McCarthy
was Hella
when she was like
Hella.
When she would laugh, and there's never a moment she laughs in the movie, but Melissa McCarthy's like signature as Hella is laughing, and it's just so stupid. Also, I love because I really thought I really love the way that he mocked Thor: The Dark World with the play, and then he was not afraid to mock Thor: Ragnarok with a play. In this, I thought it was really funny. He was like, hey, I'm going to make fun of this previous movie that was really shitty, but hell, this is a movie that got really a lot of praise, and I'm making fun of it too. And I also thought the play served a purpose of giving you that backstory of kind of reminding you of, oh, Hela, Loki, this is what's gone on in Ragnarok as well. Just kind of give you a little refresher, similar to Korg narrating the relationship between Jane and Thor. Also, hey, you remember this? Oh yeah, he lost his father here. He's lost a lot. He's, you know, it's continuing to remind you of these things. And I think it's so brilliant. I think it's such a good way to do it and to also not take yourself too seriously. So I loved all of this play. I thought it was great. And Matt Damon, again, when they were in that point where, you know, it's like, okay, listen to me, King. What about a play where we lose the children? How about that? And they're like, she didn't say no. Okay. Sorry, okay. We start tonight. You know, where they're so self-centered and I don't know. I love it. I love it all. I'm here for it.
I was going to say about Melissa McCarthy. Okay. I'm not sure how she got the role in this, but I do feel like part of it was, I don't know if you guys have been following the live action Little Mermaid, but she has been cast as Ursula.
Oh, nice.
And Lizzo was also trying out for the role, and she did a fantastic audition. She put it on TikTok, and I was like, holy shit, they need to give the role to Lizzo. And then when Melissa McCarthy got it, Lizzo was like, I mean, I get it. And they ran into each other in at an award show or something. Melissa McCarthy was like, I don't know why I got this role over you. And I think that maybe this is to shut up the haters, like show Melissa McCarthy can play the villain. because this was very Ursula-esque to me. What? It made me see her as Ursula a little bit.
Oh.
I know it was really short. I also wanted to shout out, and I know that this is the tiniest little bit of like, I'm taking a crumb and being like, thank you, Disney. Oh, thank you. I know that Melissa McCarthy does not have the same body as Kate Blanchett, but she was still cast as Hela. And so I do appreciate that they casted someone with a different body type. So thank you for that representation, even though it was the bare minimum. And then tearaway pants in the,
oh God.
In the play.
Yes.
And they were like, and suit up.
Yeah. And like the awkward, like jeans still attached when they cut the camera away. Like yeah. It's not really fully pulled away. I laughed out loud when I noticed that.
Yeah. Cool. Did you guys notice that the Cronin God was sitting on a throne of scissors?
I did not. But I did not rock either. Over. Okay.
Yeah.
Rock beat scissors. I like that.
And they say, oh, the Ninny of the Nani. And he's like, hey, Ninny Nani.
Yeah.
It's all nonsense. All nonsense. And I love it.
Yep.
Me too.
You're such a dick. You did that to Dad Jab.
No, I'm just saying. That was like a it's all jokes. Everything about this movie is jokes. Which is my biggest critique about it. And I love jokes.
Golly, this is good. That way you said that was almost eerie. You're like, oh, this whole movie's jokes. It's all jokes. And that's my biggest critique about it. Like, it was like almost like I was going to get murdered after.
I love jokes.
Yeah. I felt like this was your villain origin story there.
That's my tryout for the Joker.
Creepy as shit, dude.
Oh, we don't need any more Jokers. Good God. Who's making a Joker?
Oh, we're going to have a singing Joker. We're going to have a weird.
Oh, yeah. Everybody Joker. Loves Joker, right?
Yep.
Not anymore.
No, we did. Yeah. DC completely beat that.
They're beating a dead horse like this movie did.
Like this podcast has.
Oh, I'm still going. All right. So we saw the Tree of Life, which we saw in the first, Captain America movie.
Mm-hmm.
When they went to the place where New Asgard is now, it was on that wall in the first like little scene.
I know.
Arizona?
Mm-hmm.
Phoenix.
It's in Arizona?
Yeah, Phoenix. No,
it was in Norway somewhere where they got the Tesseract the first time.
Norway, Nevada. It was right next door. I love Norway, Nevada.
It was close. Start with an N.
Right next to Reno. It's a great casino town in Norway.
Okay, so we see the Tree of Life on Thor's shirt. We see the Tree of Life on the book that calls to Jane. And we see the Tree of Life when he's giving the kids the power of Thor for a limited time only.
I like that.
The connection. Power spreads out.
Yeah, it spreads out like the tree.
In like the tree.
I like that connection. Good stuff.
Yeah. We hear the song Paradise City.
Take me back to Paradise City where the grass is green and the girls are pretty.
Can I confess something?
Take me home. Yeah, yeah.
Emmy,
can I confess something?
I need you to be
cheerful. He just said, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I said, yeah, yeah.
Oh. You need me to be what? Are you going to tell me to smile?
I need you to smile.
No, that was me. Smile, Emmy.
Just in a
That's why you don't have any crow's feet. You never smile.
Okay. So here's my confession.
That was a compliment and a jab.
How did you do that? You literally were like, congrats. Fuck you.
I don't have it in me this week.
Patience is little.
Mm-hmm. I had it in me in a couple weeks.
Oh, shit. All
right. Motivation, that is.
Oh.
That's exactly what I was thinking, Clinton.
I thought so.
Emmy, sorry. We'll stop.
You can have fun with us too, Emmy.
I was, and then I'm not.
Oh, shit.
No, I'm just kidding. My confession, I'm sure everybody is waiting on the edge of their seat, is to know that I was very old, probably in my 30s, before I knew that that song was called Paradise City, not Take Me Down to the Very Last City.
Really?
Are you serious?
You're just 3 years into this.
Uh-huh. Yep. Very Last City. In my head, that meant Key West. Like, you keep going to the very last city.
Wow.
It's Key West.
Oh my God.
Not as bad as I was in my late 20s, early 30s when I realized that a pickle is a cucumber with vinegar on it. So that's worse.
Yeah.
I don't like pickles, so I never ate one. Love cucumbers, hate vinegar. So I never touched a pickle. Like I've tried them obviously to know I don't like them, but I despise them. Never put it together.
How did you try a pickle without touching it?
Could have been on a burger. You're gonna eat it.
You're still touching it with your mouth?
Oh, I mean, yeah.
I'm tasting it at that point. There's two different senses in me. Yeah. I thought you were a teacher. No?
Oh. I don't know if you guys can tell, but I forgot my highlighter. I forgot my notebook. And so right now I wrote in pen and I'm crossing stuff off with a pencil. And I feel like that's a lot louder.
There it is.
Can you guys hear?
Your disdain is the loudest thing I'm hearing.
Yeah, you're over our shit.
I'm sorry. I really love this movie and I really don't like that people are trying to tear it a new one. And I thought that I would be like a lot more well-spoken about like the issues that people had with it. And I feel like I've kind of just been like, yeah, well, fuck you. I liked it. I don't care.
That'd be me on a debate team in school.
Yeah. Well, fuck you, Greg.
Point and I'll be like, fuck you, you moron.
Fuck you, Greg. You don't know shit.
My dick.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. Yeah.
Okay. So I feel like I haven't done
what you're saying.
I haven't done a good enough job defending the movie, and that I think it started to piss me off a little bit.
Oh, no. If you love it.
It's okay. I won.
I like this movie. Like, I actually would say I'm more close to love than anything. All right. You're still getting, obviously, to your points, but I really did enjoy this movie. 8 out of 10, solid for me. Like, I watched it twice, and I'll probably see it again a third time. I really did. I liked it a lot. So
I will watch it again.
But like when Clint makes a point, it's like, oh yeah, no, I can totally see where you're coming from. Maybe I don't agree with Clinton, but I can totally see his side for sure. Yeah.
I guess I can like see like the issues. Like people have said like, oh, if Thor knew that there was somebody in the middle of eternity who could grant a wish, why didn't he do that back when the 5 years when people were blipped? And it's like, yeah, but shut up. Okay.
Maybe eternity can't turn back time though. Maybe there's a share clause.
Like it's yeah, like
if I could turn back time.
Or like
I think we referenced that song last episode.
Oh, I'm gonna put it on our soundtrack now. Enjoy. Share.
People saying like if Mjolnir was gonna I said it wrong.
Mjolnir.
If Mjolnir wasn't gonna cure Jane, why did he even call to her? Ooh. And it's like, yeah, well, you shut up too.
Yeah, well, kindly fuck off.
Yeah.
I mean, they kept that comic, though. I mean, that's how they did it in the comics.
And she still, because it accelerated her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm going to point out that Meek is a she in this movie. And in previous movies, they said he.
Mm-hmm.
So Meek has changed genders.
Oh, that's pretty
cool. Really? That out. I did not catch that.
I didn't either.
I was pretty sure they said she when Valkyrie says she's keeping notes or she's taking minutes on the whiteboard.
Yeah.
And then the second time, like, I really listened to it and I still think she said she's taking minutes.
Oh,
I never wait on that. Those closed captions.
I know, for real. They have those closed captions at the shooty theater. I don't know why they didn't have them at your theater, Clinton. Oh, which, and by the way,
if they had them, so did it say she or he?
I didn't go to the shooty theater. I'm in Savannah.
And the first time you went with me. Okay, makes sense.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, did I even tell you that I had an allergic reaction to the popcorn in the theater during that movie?
What?
At the theater I was at?
I meant to say this, yeah.
Really?
There was something in that popcorn that made me have an allergic reaction. The roof of my mouth swelled up, and I was like, this is the first showing. It's opening night. I'm just going to sit here and suffer. It's okay.
You didn't say anything about it afterwards.
I didn't want to ruin the movie.
Aw. You're not ruining it by talking about what you experienced.
No.
Emmy's I had a seizure over there, but I didn't want to ruin the movie for anybody.
Yeah, like, Emmy, you are suffering is not ruining things.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
No, I just, I went home and drank a whole bunch of water and I was fine. But yeah, I mean, it wasn't, obviously it wasn't life threatening. I was fine. It just like, I could tell what was going on. And I was like, I don't want to ruin this movie for myself either. I'm not walking out of here.
I wonder what that could have been.
I have no idea, but I don't know if you noticed when you went over to my house today, that popcorn's still sitting there because I'm not chancing it again. I had like three kernels.
Poppy's popcorn has done that to me a couple times for sure. Like that's the only brand that I've had a problem with. But
I don't think I've ever suffered from pussingitis before. That would happen to me.
I was going to be setting up like a Pop D's Nuts joke, but I couldn't really find the zinger. So yeah, Poppy's popcorn is not a real thing.
And so, I come into the pussingitis.
Yeah, and after that, I was like, well, fuck my. You didn't lob it back up. You're like, you're a pussy. And I was like, well, damn, I'm shut down. I don't have anywhere to go now. So anyway, that was going to try to be. But don't look for Poppy's popcorn. Maybe that is a thing. That sounds like a good popcorn brand.
Are you going to be like popping these nuts on your face?
Oh, we need to make a popcorn brand called Poppy's Popcorn and say, popping these nuts and these kernels.
Poppy D's.
Oh, we put Poppy nuts D's. And popcorn together and we literally say, we're going to pop these nuts. And these popcorn
in your mouth.
In your mouth. Oh my God. Like that's our $1 million. Oh,
people love the caramel
with some nuts.
With this.
Oh, the man.
Regular popcorn.
Put some. Oh my gosh. It's like, yeah, it's like trail mix.
Trademark, except guys. Just, don't steal our idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
If, Poppy D's.
I swear to God, if you put nuts and popcorn together and make a D's Nuts joke out of our marketing, I'm going to be highly upset at you.
Yeah, crunch and munch. I'm looking at you, you fuckers.
All right.
Okay. Did you know that there's an Old Spice ad that has Luke Hemsworth in it? Like, did you see that?
I did not, but that's pretty amazing. A little tongue-in-cheek action there.
Well, because that's on TV, and then you saw Valkyrie doing an ad here.
Oh, 100%.
Like, in the movie.
That's what I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked it. Saruman plays the harp for Zeus. Did you know that?
Saruman plays the harp for Zeus?
Yeah. I'm just saying it looks like him.
Oh, no, I didn't catch that. I have to look again. There's so many things I missed.
It looks a lot like Saruman is playing the harp for Zeus.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I feel like we didn't give enough to the end.
And I was glad because that's what I was kind of waiting for. I wanted to talk about that as well, where the ending, especially where, oh my God, the very end, they call them Love and Thunder. And also that's his real daughter. And the scene between them, obviously where Gore gives his love to Thor, and I'm talking about his daughter, and also the fact that Thor is so just such a caring and open uncle/father to, it's really, really cool. And like, I love her reflection was eternity in the water. I thought that was really, really awesome. And the power of eternity is flowing through her. She's going to be a badass. And I don't know. I'm excited to see where these two go. I really am. I loved what they set up here. And when she's decorates Mjolnir and just the whole dynamic, it really works between those two. I felt it was a little forced with Christian Bale and her because she doesn't have that real connection to Chris Hemsworth, you know? And when it was her and Chris Hemsworth on the screen, I totally was there for everything. I thought that they had a really good chemistry that is played out obviously in their real life that was played out in this movie. And I'm here for it. I thought Love and Thunder, especially the very end, I thought I'm here. Cannot wait. I thought it was a gorgeous ending. I thought it was really, really heartfelt and made me tear up. And I cannot wait to see where these two go for sure.
What was it? Because you said eternity in the reflection.
Mm-hmm. If you Clinton, look. Oh, sorry.
When we went and saw it, it wasn't eternity. It was another itty that.
Infinity?
No.
P. Diddy?
I want to say singularity. That Jesse pulled up on his phone and was like, this is what I saw in the water. Does that sound like a thing?
Singularity.
Cool. Oh, singularity. I don't know. I don't think. I just saw the reflection of eternity. I thought that's what it was. I apologize.
Well, yeah, but it was the reflection of eternity, but it wasn't the, it didn't have the Hela helmet on it. It was like a girl with her hair down. Oh, but maybe that was just eternity in the girl.
That's what I was. Yes, exactly. That's what I saw.
Okay.
100%.
I think that there might be a character whose name is Singularity that the person, well, you know what? I was having an allergic reaction. So maybe I was out of my mind.
No, I'm sure you were fine.
I don't remember that. I'm sorry. I wasn't trying to be.
No, you're fine.
Silent. I don't remember that.
Sound off in the comments below. Singularity.
Give us a subscribe if you like the podcast.
So that you can sound off in the comments below.
Right.
Okay. That was part of the time that I leaned forward was because in eternity I was like, that's the Watcher. Mm-hmm. I think I was wrong, but that's fine. Mm-hmm. I loved the Guns N' Roses guitar solo playing for November Rain whenever they were fighting.
Yep.
Loved it. Here will be my final question. Oh no. No, I'm sorry. I gotta point out that Val fought that battle in the city when they took the kids. She was in her pajamas and they were Phantom of the Opera's t-shirt.
Oh, nice. I didn't catch that.
Which is a wonderful, wonderful musical. Okay. So what is the Mighty Thor's catchphrase that she whispers to Thor at the end that we don't hear?
Stop, hammer time.
Okay. All right.
That genuinely would make me laugh at that point. I thought that would be good. So that's kind of what I heard when I was seeing that play out.
Okay. Clinton.
Oh boy. I don't know. I don't know. I can't beat that. I can't beat hammer time. Yes, you can. That Brandon had.
Okay. This is for you because you know what it means now. Some other people know what it means. Her catchphrase is "the hammer is my penis," and that's from Dr. Horrible Sing Along Blog.
Oh my God! I hope that's it. All right. So, Thor: Love and Thunder. A divisive movie.
But a we're gonna do post and mid credits.
Of course, just wrapping everything.
Oh well, I guess we kind of did.
Yeah.
I want to say one more thing.
Yeah.
Before you wrap it up, the final battle visually was amazing with mm-hmm. the black and white and the draining of the color and the saturation.
Yeah.
And then the reflection of Stormbreaker and Zeus's bolt and like how it reflected color was the only color, but like how mm-hmm. it showed him, like not only did he have shadow creatures that fought, but he just drained the color out of everything. I loved that choice.
I'm not sure if that was him or the planet that he was on.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of took it as the planet that he was
really? On. Really? I took it as him.
Repeat that again. Repeat that again. Sorry, what?
I took it as him because of the shadows and the darkness he comes out of. So like pulls the color.
Oh,
Amy took it as the planet.
I thought they even say it was the planet. I thought they said where they're going, there is no
light. The shadow, yeah. The shadow dimension.
Shadow dimension, yeah. I thought it was already defined that that's where it was. Because if that was the case, well, if he was pulling it with him, New Asgard would have been black and white. You know what I mean? Like, I think anywhere where he would have went, it would have been.
Well, defined. Yeah, that's true.
So I think it was the place. Oh, and but
it
before,
was just the shadow, like the darkness of it. I don't know. I like how it just had desaturated color, period. That's my point.
Well,
yeah.
Before we get on out of here, we also have one of our listeners, Keith, who also sent us a couple of videos. And I know he was very conflicted with this movie as well. So this is Thor, Love and Thunder Thoughts. Tried to be brief, but I'm more of a boxer brief kind of guy. So we're going to hear from him right now.
Love this movie. I mean, no harm. With the words I'm about to say. I've seen a few different defenses of Thor Love and Thunder. Hey, it's a comedy. Not everything's gonna be Infinity War and Endgame. It's a comedy, trying to enjoy yourself. I get what they're saying, but could it at least be a good comedy? When you have a sentient axe that is driving a boat, if you pour beer on that axe and you don't make the joke that the boat wobbles or wiggles a little bit, after pouring the beer on it, you have missed the joke. Taika brought us so many comedies that are cutting edge, incredibly thought-provoking, just beautiful comedies that married the comedy with the heartfelt very naturally. And I think that Taika is able to do that still. A part of me thinks that he was just like, oh, I don't really want to do Marvel movies all the rest of my life, so I'm going to kind of half-ass this. Remember back in Avengers Age of Ultron, when Vision said that Thor's hammer was incredibly well-balanced, and Thor said, well, if there's too much weight, then you lose power on the swing. Well, this is exactly what happened with this movie. Every joke, there was so much weight on, it's got to be funny, it's got to be funny, there's got to be jokes, there's got to be more jokes. It lost power on the swing. That might be the crappiest metaphor I've ever come up with.
Oh, that's wonderful, actually.
Fuck it. You know what? We're doing things half-ass now. That's what you're going to get. If you're going to get half-ass stuff from Taika, you're going to get half-ass stuff from Sam Raimi, not watching all of WandaVision. What? So you're going to get some half-ass Keith. And here it is. I'm not going to be nearly as funny or attractive, and I'm going to talk a lot slower.
You're still beautiful.
Thor has always been a weird and harder story to tell. And remember when it used to be too serious? Well, now it's too stupid. And I mean Thor specifically is too stupid. The man is breaking through ceilings and he's destroying temples, and we're supposed to like this guy. And I understand that he's gone through something. He went through the Big Lebowski Thor character, and now he's buffer than he's ever been before, but that doesn't necessarily make him smarter again. But it's like he was smart before, right? It wasn't that he wasn't smart. It was he was doubting whether he was worthy or not, but then we cleared that up. And if they just want to keep taking character arcs that we've had and story arcs and character growth that we've had and keep bringing it back and going, oh, my God, one step forward, two steps back. It's not going to be a very interesting phase five. I don't know. I didn't hate it. It sounds like I hated it. There's lots to enjoy in this movie. I enjoyed the love triangle with Stormbreaker and Mjolnir. I thought it was very funny. I enjoyed Bale's performance. I enjoyed Natalie Portman's performance. I enjoyed the look of everybody was awesome. I wasn't bothered by the lack of tentacles on Voldemort. There's lots to enjoy in this movie. There's just a lot that's like, what's going on? I've heard tale of this thing called Marvel fatigue or superhero movie fatigue. And, you know, maybe that's what the next movie should be about. Maybe that should be the next Avengers level threat. Let's just hope that the next thing
is
a more clearer of a vision, a little less disjointed.
Oh, boom. All right.
That's it.
All right. I Deserve Better, I think, is the song that I was about to play. There's another one, too, but I don't want to get to that one before we touch base on this video. So, Amy, you look like you're about to scream your head off while watching it. Keith is our honorary fourth member of the podcast. Listen to our Summer Vacay episodes with Keith and Amy. They're wonderful. Absolutely love those episodes. So, shout out. He's also been on our show a couple times with the three of us. So, really, really regard his opinion pretty highly, actually. And so, Amy, what are you thinking here after hearing some of those points?
You know, I do regard his opinion very highly. Not this one.
Oh, man.
Although I will say, okay, he's like, I like this movie. I love this movie. But like, here are the things the jokes hit for me.
I don't think he said he loved this movie.
I think he said he liked parts of this movie. I don't think he said he liked the parts. Movie.
Okay. Well. Anyway, I mean, it was just Keith, man. I get your points, but see the rest of the podcast where I don't defend the movie fantastically. I still love this movie.
We are Groot. I have nothing to add. No, honestly, from someone that really loves this movie, it was very interesting hearing Keith's take, and I do really see that side of Thor just being dumb, you know, where I really do feel like he was never dumb, even despite all these things he do. You know, it felt like we saw Party Thor from What If crossover into the MCU, like instead of, you know, it felt like we were just supposed to get on board with this very kind of self-centered and kind of a little bit lack of knowledge Thor, and we've seen so much growth from that character before where it's a little jarring to kind of go so far back with this character that has already gone forward. And so to Keith's point, you know, except, I mean, that was my critique of Wanda. I feel like we're taking one step forward, two steps back, and Thor could feel that with some people. I didn't feel that watching this movie. I'm not saying I did. I'm not even saying I changed.
I was going to say.
I'm not saying I'm changing my opinion, but I can see why people did feel that way. I can. And I totally can hear what you're saying. Even though I disagree, doesn't mean that it's invalid for how you feel. I totally can see why someone would feel that way. And that would suck coming out of the theater and feeling like that. So I hate that for people. And I hate that Marvel didn't make it more clear. You know, and I don't mean that because Marvel didn't make it clear, so you didn't understand. That's not to sound like a dig. No, I just, it's so gray with a lot of people. It's for some people, they're taking it a completely different way. And I can see why. I can see why, you know? So I don't know. It's just, it's not a good feeling. I feel like I'm listening to someone hate on Multiverse, and I'm like, I liked Multiverse. I can see how listeners felt with me at that time. So.
Does Quentin, do you want to add to that? Or because I have a question.
It just felt good having
validation.
No, not validation. Just someone agree with me on this.
Validation.
It's not validating to me. It feels nice not to feel. Not feel, but like it feels good to know I'm not alone in this. Like I just am glad that someone else saw it from that perspective too, and it made me happy.
He hit on a lot of your points. He said a lot of
the same words that I used.
Yeah, he hit on a lot of your points for sure.
Okay, so here's my question. Y'all are saying that Thor seems dumb now. What did Thor do that was dumb aside from that first scene?
Oh God!
Y'all say
he just seems ditzy this whole movie.
Yeah, I think it was more, you know, where. I mean, I think it's throughout the entire movie, to be honest with you. Like when he's talking about, like, you know, we will feast and we will have children. And well, we're not going to feast on. I know, but it just feels like that the older Thor that would have rallied a troop together and like, all right, we're going to bust through a wall. Because even in the first Thor movie, Thor could speak really well. You know, he got the Warriors 3 and Sif like, hey, you know, we love this shit. Let's go get it. And it's like, he can't just even articulate a rally cry, you know? And also he's also kind of getting lost in, you know, there's a very serious conflict going on with children being captured and he's worried about making his ex weapon jealous. You know, it's, I'm not saying it's, maybe it's not dumb. It just feels very childlike, you know, and it feels very immature at a time of crisis. And I know, some way we cope with humor, but for someone that didn't use that for so much to be so completely on the opposite end now, it's jarring. It is a very jarring experience. It worked for me. That's the thing. It worked for me. I loved every bit of it. I'm just more an advocate for someone that's probably feeling this way. It's like, you know, what, you know, I don't know.
Now you're arguing the same point that I was arguing in episode 4 of Ms. Marvel, that like, why is she quipping during this fight? And like, the stakes are high. Like, why are we, but like, that's kind of how the heroes have been, is that they're like funny.
But this
during
is not how Thor has been. I feel like Thor is kind
Thor
of.
Thor has grown.
But if some people feel like he's not, some people feel like he's devolving. He's not growing. He's actually taking a step back from the character arc that we've already seen.
Now he's becoming a goofy goober.
Keith said that. Clinton said that. And so like I said, I loved it. I love this movie. I know it sounds weird coming from a guy who loved this movie, but for some folks, this is not growing. This is the complete opposite of that. This is a lack of maturity. This is a lack of, you know,
midlife crisis.
Yeah, probably. I don't know.
So is that what's happened with us? Because I feel like I've gotten more mature since I started the podcast.
Oh God,
I get darker humor and goofier, and I'm losing my mind. So I think I might be on a midlife crisis. It might be that.
Probably.
What if
Thor's seen some shit?
What if we're growing? What if this is growth for us?
It's a perspective thing.
Yeah. So it's we're growing.
And
we can have different opinions, MAGs. You get mad tonight.
I'm not mad.
But here's positive vibes-ish. So here's Keith with his second video.
As per usual, I record some negative thoughts about a movie, and then I spend a little bit of time in our Discord, and like the Grinch, my heart grows three sizes this day. there are a lot of positives about this movie that I should have shared. I should have focused on. I loved the way that Mjolnir comes back together and separates. I thought it sounded so cool, especially the first time where all the pieces chunked back into the handle. I loved the way that the fight scenes in general looked. A lot of great stylization and a lot of great acting, honestly. People were talking about this movie as if it was just riddled with gayness. And I'm going to be honest with you, I thought afterwards, I was like, was it? I was like, maybe it's because of the rainbow bridge? I don't know. There was one very organic moment with Valkyrie where she kisses the hand of that one Zeus fan, and then dives off the platform.
Badass.
And I thought that was incredibly organic and very showboaty, very true to the character. I thought that the other scene that kind of talked about Korg's dads and then Valkyrie's girlfriend, they just have a tiny conversation off the main stage, and it felt kind of forced. But overall, I guess it's pretty gay for MCU, but I would argue that the Eternals still takes the gold on that one. Can you believe that when I started recording this, I thought I was capable of doing 100% positive comments? I'm trying. Regardless, I will look back more fondly on Thor: Love and Thunder than I will Multiverse of Madness, purely because the line "Aluma Woody" has been stuck in my head ever since.
Oh, well said, Keith. Good stuff, man. He touched base on we didn't even touch base on the Thor, the weapon. Obviously, Mjolnir coming back together. What a badass moment.
I had to write it down to remind myself to bring it up as my last point, because I did not expect that. And when it happened in the theater, I gasped.
So
I was
badass.
So shooketh.
Yeah.
I saw it. They put it in the trailer.
Oh, shit. That sucks. They didn't put it in the first one because it wasn't in the
where
first
she's,
one.
Where she throws the with Mjolnir and it goes into shards and kills all the...
No, yeah. I never saw that.
That was in the trailer. And this movie, I actually watched two trailers and they released a ton. I was like, I'm not watching any more trailers. Y'all have convinced me now to try to not watch trailers since Multiverse of Madness and the biggest thing got revealed in the trailer. I don't want to do that anymore. However, I will say when a new movie's coming out, I'm still going to watch the initial trailer, first one.
I'll be honest with you. If it wasn't for this podcast, I wouldn't watch a Marvel Studios trailer. I wouldn't, just because the name alone, Marvel Studios, has my attention and I'll watch it. For this podcast, it is cool to kind of whet my appetite with one trailer. But yeah, nothing beyond that. Nothing beyond that.
I think I'm going to start doing that rule myself.
Yeah, it's nice.
I didn't see it in the trailer. And so when it happened, I was flabbergasted.
Yeah, pretty awesome.
Well, I mean, fucking kick ass.
Yep.
Badass. Amazing.
All right. So Thor, Love and Thunder, what a divisive movie, what a divisive podcast, but we hope you enjoyed. Really, honestly, regardless whether you love this movie, hate this movie, or indecisive about it, I think everyone's kind of right. I do think there is a lot to love, and I think there's a lot to critique, but I also think at the end of the day, it was good. I really, really enjoyed it. Emmy loved it. Clinton, not so big of a fan, but at the same time, none of these opinions are right or wrong. They're just opinions. And I think that's what makes this MCU so special is, we're all very passionate about these characters and where they've been and where they're growing, and where they're growing. And so, it's good stuff. So we hope you enjoyed.
Or love and hate.
Yeah, exactly. We hope you enjoyed this movie. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. And whether you heard your voice in this show or not, we really appreciate you tuning in. It means the world to us. So if you like the conversation, like the banter, consider giving a 5-star rating on your podcast platform of choice, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Those really go a long way with us getting eyes and ears. And hey, let us know what you think of Thor: Love and Thunder. Apple Podcasts actually allow a comment. So give us a 5-star and say, hey, here's what I think. I agree, disagree. And let us hear it. We would love to hear from you. And you can also tweet us. We have a Twitter account, Avengers Podcast. Tweet at us over there, Instagram, Facebook. You can get in contact with us. We love to hear from our listeners. Patrons, a quick way to really talk to us every single day, week, is our Discord. $3 patrons get that and higher. So Patreon.com/Avengers Podcast, $1. gets you a shout out. $3 gets you Discord, Minecraft server, and a shout out. $5 gets you all that, plus two bonus episodes a month of Binger's News, as well as a movie review only heard on our Patreon. And $10 gets you all that, plus a watch party with us. You get to hang out, talk with us, part of a Zoom call with us as we watch a movie. And you also get unedited episodes of the podcast. So thank you so much for listening, tuning in. We really, really appreciate it. Emmy, credits names. Do we have a couple? Do we have one? I know we've been doing one for Disney Plus. I was curious what the format was going to be for this.
We've got two, and I caught them both in the theater. So they are winners.
All right. Let's hear our final two credits names.
All right. So we've got our costume maker. This is what I'm going to need after this fight of a podcast. It's Fiona Warmbath.
Oh, I kind of want a warm bath too. That sounds lovely.
All right. And then our compositor, Francois Le Bastard, which is just Francis the Bastard.
I was going to say French if bastard.
Francois Le Bastard.
I like it. All right, guys. We're heading on out. We'll be back with Ms. Marvel finale. So Wednesday night. Thursday, you're going to hear us, our beautiful voices again, reviewing Ms. Marvel Episode 6, the finale. And then we're going to have a little break from Marvel Studios content. So guess what? The Avengers, we're going to lose our damn mind. We're going to still be back every week. So you're going to get content from us, but get ready because we got some fun stuff planned. So anyway.
Butt stuff.
That's fun.
Yeah, butt stuff.
Yeah, but, we're going to do butt stuff.
No, Clinton, we never agreed on
that. On air.
Oh, wow. We will see you later this week. Bye, guys. Have a good night. Clinton, Emmy.
Am I not?
Any final words before we head on out of here?
Clinton, you got anything?
No. I'm perfectly content with how our conversation went, but you're wrong.
Y'all kept talking about being drenched, and I gotta say, nothing has ever been more drenched than my undies after seeing Daddy Thor.
Naked.
My God.
Oh.
We didn't even talk about that. That ass, though.
I wasn't talking about that. I was talking about. Oh, God. Oh. Y'all see the list on his back?
Rip Loki.
Yeah, but then there was also a list. Here's a post credits for our podcast. The list on his back, there was like a piece of paper next to it that said, it had mother, father, Loki, Natasha, Tony, like the people that he's lost. It's like his list of people that he's.
Oh, it had Natasha and Tony on it?
Yeah.
That's really strange.
I didn't catch that.
I didn't either.
It was like a piece of paper next to the little Loki horns.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
Did you turn the music off because of that?
No. That was actually just naturally, it's only 15 seconds long. So.
Oh, well, yeah. That was the list on his back and also his butt, though. But I was actually talking about him making pan flaps for love.
It was horrible.
Him being a little.
See, Emmy loves acts of service. That is her love language because he made pan flaps for his little girl, and that meant something to Emmy. What is your love language, listeners? Oh, that got weird. Okay. See you guys. Bye.
Bye. That butt, though. Double cheeked up on a Thursday.
Oh, my God.